Blog Talk Radio.
Help me out a bit on this.
Don't let that flag hit the ground.
Make it rain.
Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, the chiropractors of conservatism, the madmen of motivation, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. Bill is coming for you, Obama. What about you, Corker? Feel us breathing down your neck, Dewhurst? You rhinos are gone. And we're gonna stick the dogs on you, Obama. You're done, boy.
And Uncle Bing.
All right, and good Sunday afternoon to you, princes and princesses of patriotism. It is Sunday, and when it's Sunday, it's Soldiers of Patriotism time with me, Michael B., and as always, my partner, my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing. Hey, Uncle Bing, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fantastic. Went to Chattanooga, saw Zach signs all over the freaking place. I was just ecstatic, man.
That's wonderful, my brother. Well, listen, Hank, I'm gonna just do my editorial real quick, and then we're going to bring you in here and chat for a second, and then we'll bring in our special guest that you got lined up for us. I'm real excited about this, George Monahan. But I just want to catch up since I was out last Sunday. I did get to call in. We did get to speak a little bit. But I just need to catch up with our brothers and sisters, Uncle Bing. Folks, the last 9 days, Patriots. Last night, I went to see Glenn Beck, who told me and over 40,000 of our countrymen at Cowboy Stadium, there are two types of people in America: those that get pushed around, and those that push. Over the last 9 days, I've been on a wild ride. It started last Friday. Angela and I drove down to San Antonio for an event at the Alamo. Then it was a busy week making calls, talking to people, pushing information, training for elections judge. And then yesterday morning, a Get Out the Vote event in Southlake, Texas. An event in which I was honored and proud to stand before over 200 people or more and deliver our country's Pledge of Allegiance, and my state's pledge. Plus, I did so with Senator Rick Santorum, Congressman Michael Burgess, and former State Solicitor General Ted Cruz standing to my side. My brothers and sisters, you all know me, and you know it was all I could do to choke out the words without crying, much as I'm doing now. But I did. And I did it. I did so with conviction, with a resounding sense of renewed hope and pride and more for love of country that runs through these veins. After the event, I ran home, cleaned up, put on my kilt and boots, painted my face yet again, and put on my straw Stetson, collected my love, and drove down to Arlington to meet up with some of those very same patriots to do a Ted Cruz wave sine wave in front of the ballpark in 107-degree weather. We didn't whine or cry. Nope, we proudly waved our signs and reminded folks the only thing more American than baseball was getting out to vote on Cruz Day. Oops, I'm sorry. I meant Tuesday. We then walked back to the Sheridan where FreedomWorks had set up a command center of phone banks, bloggers, tweeters, and all kinds of volunteers there working on behalf of Ted Cruz. My friend Aaron Goldberg was in town for this. Yeah, Aaron came to Texas to work on behalf of getting Ted Cruz as our next state senator. Thank you, my brother. You serve an inspiration. Then we capped off the evening at Glenn Beck's Restoring Love. I surely haven't the time now to go into detail except to recount for you one story that sticks in my mind. And if I can get through this story without crying, it'll be a good day for me today. It was a story about General Washington, who on the eve of the Battle of Valley Forge got down on one knee and prayed aloud to God to give us the strength to do what we must. A story we know is true because of one man. That man was Isaac Potts, a pacifist Quaker and a redcoat who had followed the father of our country into the woods and watched as General Washington prayed aloud to God and ran home and told his wife, he, speaking of Washington, was at prayer to the God of the armies beseeching to interpose with his divine aid. It was ye crisis. And the cause of the country, of humanity, and of the world. Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of a man. I left him alone praying. I went home and told my wife, I saw a sight and heard today what I never saw or heard before, and just related to her what I had seen and heard and observed. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian, but there is one in the world. It is Washington. She also was astonished. We thought it was the cause of God and America could prevail. He then to me put out his right hand and said, I turned right about and became a Whig. Washington's prayer was on behalf of his soldiers and their worthy cause, changed the heart and life of this man who merely observed Washington asking God for favor and for blessing. Yes, patriots, it was a busy 9 days. I'm a little worn out. And it started at a place consecrated by the blood of Travis, of Bowie, of Bonham, and of Crockett, and many other noble hearts who yielded their lives a willing sacrifice in the cause of liberty. 200 men who, in the face of overwhelming odds, drew a line in the sand and said to a tyrant, bent on taking them that with which they were born with, their God-given rights to be free men. When I think about that, however, I also think back to earlier in 1835, in a little town called Gonzales. After the same tyrant told them to turn in their arms and give up their cannon, not only did these patriots say, hell no, they said, come and take it. Come and take it. And before that, in 1776, another tyrant who was told, we shall not live under the rule of a king, for a king is not a god or God, and a king does not give us our rights. They too fought for their God-given rights, and they stood in opposition of overwhelming odds. Then in the 1940s, our grandfathers and grandmothers, in the face of tyrants in both Japan and Europe, stood up and said, hell no, this will not stand, and mobilized a war effort to stop fascist socialists on two fronts in the cause of human liberty. Or how about in the 1950s and 60s, a man named Martin Luther King, who stood in opposition to an unjust society and proclaimed, I am a man. I am a man. He, with many other noble and good people, marched for their God-given rights in the face of opposition. Then there is mine and my father's generation, who stood opposed to communism during the Cold War. Then, of course, our children and our grandchildren who have stood in the face of Islamic fascism and said, hell no. Not on my watch. This is our history. This is our country. This is America. It's a good country. Oh, sure, we've made mistakes. And we will make mistakes in the future. But our whole community has lately been thrown into confusion and distractions. Homicide, outrage, and bloodshed seem to literally be the order of the day. Insomuch that it really appears to me as if society were about to dissolve itself into the elements. And I think sometimes it is probable that it be done the better for our country. For then maybe, just maybe, our countrymen who have forgotten their God-given rights will realize how important they are. But I then think back to our history. Last night, Beck brought it together for me. He said last night, it is us who put our shoulder down and put all the strength we have into pushing the car uphill to that shining city on the hill. Will we ever get there? No, not in our lifetime. But America is not a finished painting. Rather, it is a painting that will always be in progress, constantly getting better by the artist's brush. You know, over the last few weeks, so many things have come together. Standing at the Alamo, fighting for liberty. Glenn Beck's Restoring Love event. And becoming friends with Virginia Prodan, a lady who escaped communism and socialism. A lady of fortitude that could teach all of us Americans exactly what it is we can lose in the blink of an eye. I've listened to her video, it seems like 200 times. And it is so clear to me now. The desire for freedom. It's a human condition. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you for reminding me what it is I fight for. Brother Bing, Sister Teresa, Brother Aaron, all of us, what we fight for and how easily it can disappear or die. As God is my witness, so long as there's breath in my body, I will not give up on her. I will fight as hard as I can to leave the inheritance to my children that was left to me. Our inheritance. That is what America is. It is an inheritance. It is a progress in work that each and every generation must build upon what was left to them to make better. Yes, there are two types of people. Those that are pushed around and those who push. Speaking for myself, I'm a pusher. I beg you, my countrymen. I'm pleading. Push with me. God of power and mercy, maker of love and peace, to know you is to live and to serve you is to reign. Through the intercession of Saint Michael, the archangel, be our protection in battle against all evil. Help us to overcome. Amen. And that's my editorial, and I'm sticking to it. Brother Bean, come on in here.
Amen, brother. Hard to follow that one there. Hard to follow.
Well, thank you.
I mean, just being at the Alamo myself, I can understand, you know, just the emotions of just being there. I mean, it's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's something that actually tugs at your heartstrings. And you understand, like, people like Boone and Crockett and so on that were out there that actually fought. And they knew they was going to die. They pretty much knew it. But they fought for what they believed in. That's this country. And that's what we need to do.
Yeah, we do. We have so much to fight for, Bing. And I know now. America's our inheritance, brother. We inherited it. all it's good, all it's bad.
To me, it was given to us by God.
Yeah.
We inherited it from God, so we need to take care. We need to be good stewards of this country. And right now, we're not. And I don't know if it's us or if it's other people, but there's other people that are just running amok. And we need to be good stewards of this country, just like you're a good steward of your household and your family and so on. You protect your family. You protect your property. And you protect the government.
Absolutely.
You protect what we have here.
You know what? And go ahead.
Protect what we have here. We ain't going to have nothing left.
We're not. We're absolutely not, Bing. And real quickly, I'm sorry, I meant to play this at the end of the editorial. It's going to take about 2.5 minutes, but this was the end of my editorial to wrap it all up, and I got so wound up that I forgot to push play. Let's do that real quick, Brother Bing. We'll come back from it, and the show is yours. You'll bring on our guest, and we'll go from there, okay? Oh, by the way, Brother Bing, you tell him our new format.
Oh, 3-hour format here.
That's
and then
right.
After that, what we're going to do probably is go to a video format for about an hour after the show. So, stick around. We got exciting things coming up for you, man.
We do. We're building something together, brother. Us and several other people. We're building a good brand.
Yep. What? A lot of people are going to be involved in this. It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
So go ahead and take it away.
Let's just play this real quick, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and George, okay?
All righty, brother.
This was to end my editorial, folks. I spoke about her.
Government. Many American people today are free people, independent people, but they don't believe that they will ever live under a communist system. To be honest, I have moments when sometimes I want to slap myself because I think that I'm dreaming, that I'm back in Romania and not in the United States. Socialism is in America. If you look around, look at environmental laws and movement, look at welfare systems that extended in the United States, look at multicultural system that we have. One thing that I notice is the government is doing by controlling the rules and laws and everything is trying to cut off as much as possible the power of the free people to help others, to help homeless, to help people in need, because they want to have the poor and everybody else depending on the government. I don't know how to say it to you that no matter how much you have, if you don't have freedom, you don't have anything. Freedom is precious. It's more than anything that you can have. Today, the United States of America needs our help. So if you think that if you fight, you will lose something, remember, if you don't fight, you will lose everything that you have. That as an individual, if you fight, you will have a tremendous power over many, many lives. I came to this country without knowing one word in English. This is the only country in the entire world that can give an immigrant and everybody else the freedom and the possibilities to do as much as you can do and work. God bless you, and God bless United States of America.
That's Virginia Proden. Page. On my blog site, or on TradM, where I blogged it as well, you can see the entire 9-minute video. Anyway, Brother Bing, the show's yours. I'm going to mute my mic, and you take us where we need to go.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Virginia's show was powerful, man. That show should show or tell people that do not know what communism and Marxism and totalitarianism can do to a country. They can ruin it real quick. And I think we're seeing it here, and she pretty much proved a lot of that out. I want to preface my guest here by saying that I got an email, I don't know, back, looking at it here, it was back a while back, it was June 30th, and it said, it was from Daphne Tremaine, okay, from Daphne at greentremaine.com, and it said, "Dear fellow environmentalists, we have urgent news about our efforts to include within the cap and trade bill a federal subsidy that poor people can use to purchase carbon credits. This will go a long way towards saving the environment while also promoting more comprehensive policy of social justice. To learn more, go here." So it's got greentremaine.com, urgent news update, HTML. But anyways, if you go to the website, which is greentremaine.com, and if somebody could post that over there on chat maybe. But also, and the thing that got me is whenever I get an email, I always look at who the recipients are. A lot of times, you know, spam, whatever. This was emailed to almost every single Tea Party, maybe leader, conservative movement, shaker, whoever. And I'm thinking, what is this crazy girl doing, you know? And it said also a very important warning. Do not read that stupid book, Biodiesel, a novel by George H. Monahan. All the author does is poke fun at environmentalism and mock our plans to save the planet by selling carbon credits. He should be thrown in jail for writing a book like this. I hate him. Daphne Tremaine, Vice President, Public Relations, greentremaine.com. Now, this is just so... When I got this, I'm thinking, okay, what kind of lunatic is going to email some of the top, you know, not, I don't consider myself the top conservative or anything, but, you know, I do have a website. But what lunatic is going to email an admin of a forum of a conservative website with this kind of tripe, you know? So I went to the website, and the thing is I heard Phil Valentine talk about Daphne Tremaine, but I didn't hear the interview. I just heard, like, I must have heard, like, an older show or something where he was talking about this woman is crazy. I mean, she's talking about practicing yoga so you can breathe slower, so you save, you know, the CO2 that you exhale, which actually is not a noxious gas at all. They also offer carbon credits for some place in Africa where the men and the women are sterile or something, so you can buy carbon credits that they purchase off these people to help the poor people, and then in turn, you know, you're feeling good, you know, about yourself. And I was like so incensed at first because I'm thinking, why is this window licker woman liptard, you know, emailing me? I could not understand it, you know. I could not figure it out. And then after hearing Phil Valentine speak about it, I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be legit. So I go on my website, or our website, traditionalamericanmovement.com, and posted something on there. And I think Daphne at that time already got on there and logged on. I went back again later, and I had a moderator of mine that had to go through, like, I don't know how many posts of this crazy lady. It was like Nancy Pelosi, you know, give her a sucker and she's got all sugar hyped, and now she's going running around spamming my board, you know. And so Boyd, the Alaskan on Trad Am, had to go around running around after her all day long, you know, deleting her posts, you know. And so I finally ended up getting on there and banning her because I didn't know what was going on. I get an email back from him, and he, and he said, "Man, I'm sorry, you know, it's a joke. I'm a conservative novelist based out of New York. He's a history professor, actually, in Long Island. And he wrote me an email, and it was, you know, we did call each other. We had a good laugh about it because he did get me to realize how stupid these people, I knew how stupid they were before, but I don't know. You got to go to the website and check it out. It's just so insane, and every day there's something different on there, you know. And I want to go ahead and say to George Monahan, who's the author of Biodiesel, and he wrote this novel based off this fictional character, Daphne Tremaine, who's a big-time liberal. And these ideas that he's coming up with and that he puts on this website are not that far off out of the realm of what they actually want and what they actually do. So George, come on in here, man.
Hey, Bing.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, man. Just explain to me, like, why you wrote this book, this novel. What was your impetuous for writing it and the website and everything else? I mean, go for it, man. Show's
sure.
Your...
Listen, Bing, I got to thank you so much for having me on. You know, some people, I have to admit, are not as gracious about this. You know, like you say, I this has kind of become a full-time job over the summer for me. Sent out a lot of emails to folks to try to, you know, drum up some interest in this novel. And not everybody has been, you know, has received it as well. And I guess this is, I'd like to take today as an opportunity to clear the air a little bit. I conceived of this novel going back maybe about 4 years ago. It was in the last year of the Bush administration. And I began, this was before the whole thing about the East Anglia, you remember ClimateGate when we got all the phony emails?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, back before that broke, here I am. I think I'm a fairly, you know, smart enough guy where I can follow an argument. I've been, you know, following the whole thing about all of the stuff about global warming and man-made climate change and all this stuff. And I was never sold on it. I realized that this was a hoax. Something was wrong here. And I couldn't understand why people were just so willing to sit back and let this go. Why was it that people like Al Gore were getting away with this? And why wasn't anyone questioning them? And I really began to despair. I started to do a little research on the internet, and I realized that there were some people out there who were calling out Al Gore and calling out the whole hoax of global warming. But the problem was, it wasn't really gaining any traction. It wasn't part of the, you know, the mainstream media ignored it. Any criticism of global warming was totally ignored. So I'm sitting there figuring, you know, how in the world could I possibly, you know, publicize to a larger audience the idea that this hoax, this phony, just made-up story about human beings causing global warming, and now we've got to give up our freedom, we've got to give up our cars, we can't burn oil. You know, how could I publicize that to a wider audience? I tried. I put up a web page with all kinds of statistics and information, but, you know, nobody cared, really. I mean, it was just, it wasn't sexy. It wasn't entertaining. Then I figured, you know, really a great way to do this, to try to, you know, gain some public awareness of what kind of lies they're telling us, would be to write a very funny book, a novel that showed these people in action, showed people who I guess would be like Al Gore disciples, people like Daphne, showed them in action, out there trying to defraud the public, selling the idea of man-made global warming, and then trying to make money off the deal by selling carbon credits. And in the process, I wound up writing this book called Biodiesel, a novel. It's not a manual about biodiesel. People would look at it and go, what is that? It's a technical manual about making biodiesel. Or, you know, and that's the other thing, too. People said, oh, this guy, he must be supporting the whole environmentalist agenda. It's a book about biodiesel. No, this is a satire. This is a comedy showing these people, showing these environmentalists as a bunch of hucksters who are really trying to cheat us. And this, I was really hoping, was going to, you know, become in a way like the Tea Party conservative response to all of the lies of things like An Inconvenient Truth or that stupid movie that they made. Did you see The Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, just fear-mongering, nonsense, just all nonsense trying to get us to run out.
It's scaring people into a $1 trillion-a-year business.
Exactly.
Is what it is.
So I looked and I said, why is it that we don't have anything on our side? Why is there nothing on our, you know, sane, conservative side, basically turning the tables on them, telling the story from our point of view? And that's why I conceived, how I conceived of writing this novel called Biodiesel. It's a story basically where these environmentalists with some big money backing are going to go into the carbon credit business, and they're going to try to cheat the little guy. And really the hero of the book, there's a few heroes of the book, and they don't even know one another. They're drawn together by circumstance until the cataclysmic ending, where really what happens is, I don't want to give away too much of the story, but the little guy winds up coming out on top. The good guys win. And the way they win is it's very funny. It's a very comedic story. That's very uplifting. I mean, I would really say that, if you get a chance to read it, it's the kind of book you can come away from not only with a smile on your face, but you're really going to want to cheer. It's something that's very uplifting for the good guys. And
Can you put a link on chat to your book?
I'm not on chat right now, no. I'm sitting in front of my computer.
Go ahead and tell it to us. I'm sure we'll figure it out. I got it here. I just got windows open. But
You could go any. I mean, you could really. It's available on
just
Amazon.
Just look up Biodiesel.
Actually,
right?
if you go to Amazon and you look up Biodiesel, a novel, because there are. You know, the funny thing of it is that there are manuals up there about how to make your own biodiesel, or about how biodiesel is going to save the world. So if you look up under my name, George H. Monahan, or if you just look up the title Biodiesel, a novel. You could get it as a paperback or as a Kindle, an electronic book. You could download it. And
all right, Michael just posted the link, so we got that there.
Great.
Very cool. I'm wondering myself. Okay, you're in Long Island, okay?
<You're> right.
And you're a conservative. How do you survive? It'd be like me asking somebody in San Francisco that's a conservative. We do know a few, but you've got to keep your head down.
Well, let me tell you. I got to tell you the truth. I have been all over this great, sacred country of ours, and I mean that. I'm absolutely serious. We live in a sacred land. And I have been, although I've not been to Alaska, that's a trip my wife and I are hoping to make in the next year or so, and I've not been to Hawaii. I've been to all of the lower...
If you go to Alaska, you can look up Boyd, because he was the one following around deleting all your posts, and he was
good
about
man.
To kick butt, man.
good man. Well, you know, now we realize we're all on the same page, but at the time, I don't begrudge him that. But hoping to get up to Alaska. But otherwise, I have been many times. I've been across this great land, and I've been to all of the lower 48. And I have to tell you, I love this country so much, and I absolutely love the heartland of our country. The great people who made the move west carried with them in their hearts the principles of our great American Revolution, the whole concept of individual liberty and natural law, and they brought it with them west of the Appalachian Mountains. And I feel perfectly at home in places like Kansas and Texas and Tennessee. I mean, these are the places I just love to go and spend time walking the streets of the little towns, because I feel so totally at home. But I will say that here in New York and here on Long Island, there are a number of us. And, I have to say of my compatriots in this part of the country, we have a take-no-prisoners attitude. One thing I can say about us New Yorkers is that we do have a little bit of an in-your-face kind of attitude. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, when we get to the cafes and when we're in the bastions of liberalism, myself and my circle of friends, we're not going to shy away. I'm going to let you know. Now, and as I said before too, I'm a history professor, so this carries over. When I'm in the classroom, I don't try to hide who I am. I let it all hang out.
How do your students feel about that? I mean, well, are they receptive to it? Do they enjoy the difference of opinion? Do they question you?
No, you would be surprised. Most people, I find that most people really do believe very much the way we do, the way we're discussing right now. They're strong supporters of the idea of individual liberty. They're very much, and I really see it as my holy mission to go in and share the concept of natural law, of the principles of John Locke that Thomas Jefferson imbibed and included in our Declaration of Independence. The idea that the Constitution, you know, this is something that I frequently talk about, and this is a common misconception. I ask my students all the time, where do your rights come from? And a lot of the time, people will say, the government or the Constitution. And I'll tell them right there in the classroom, I said, absolutely not. Your rights don't come from the Constitution. Your rights come from God.
Right.
We were created by God, by our Creator, with unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the reason we have a government is to protect the God-given rights. And it's amazing, most students are very receptive to this. They don't get a chance to hear it. They've never heard it in high school. And, you know, it's a little bit different in college because we have a little more latitude to kind of advance, you know, our own personal opinions. High school is it's so rigorous, I guess. They're following a state determined agenda. But in the college,
state sponsored agenda, yeah.
Yeah. But in college, I'm sorry,
just going back to that real quick. I hit Michael with that I think last week, and I said, you know, where does your right to free speech come from? And he said the First Amendment. I said, well, where do your rights from to protect free speech come from? He said the Second Amendment. I said, no, I think you're wrong, because those are inalienable rights.
Right.
Well, I tell you what. Somebody else got me on that too, Michael. So don't feel. I mean, I was sitting there going, "Oh, it comes from the Constitution." No, and then I said, "Oh, yes,
right.
He's right. He's exactly right." And that's where they do come from.
That's right, Bing. If you think about it, and this is something I talk to students, but I also talk to people just, you know, sitting around for coffee. Just, you know, I say this outside the classroom. When you really think about it, if you look at our Bill of Rights. And this was the deal. If they were going to agree to ratify the Constitution, a number of the founding fathers prevailed upon the framers of the Constitution. They said, you cannot leave this to chance. We know that we have rights. It goes back. It's part of our English heritage. It goes back to the common law of England that we have these natural law rights. One group of people said, well, you don't need to have a Bill of Rights in the Constitution. We already know what our rights are. Another group of the founders said, no, don't leave this to chance. There's always the possibility that some government's going to come along that's going to try to take our rights away. So really what we need to do is we need to have a Bill of Rights included in the Constitution. Now, this is a very interesting point. If you look at our Bill of Rights, most of the first 10 amendments to the Constitution do not tell you what your rights are. They really don't.
No.
Instead, really, what do most of the, if you really look at it, most of the first 10 amendments, what do they say? They tell you what the government cannot do.
Right. Yeah.
They
you're
tell
exactly
you,
right
in,
there.
In other words, the way it's worded with the First Amendment, it says the government shall not abridge.
As shall not. Yeah.
So really, what you've got here is a situation where the government is not allowed to take away your individual liberty. And that's something that we see all across the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Hey, Bing, you know what? I think my phone, the battery is going dead. Is there a way that you could call me back on Daphne's number?
Yes, there is.
Why don't you do that? Because
okay.
Let me, Bing, you take the mic for just a minute. I'm gonna pull George into a screen room and take his phone number, and then I'll call him and get him back on the line.
All right, Michael.
Yeah, because I don't like people to give their phone numbers out on.
Yep. All right.
All right, hang tight.
Sure.
Yeah, he's exactly right. I mean, the amendments to the Constitution basically, and the Bill of Rights really, just try to, they want to limit government, and that's what we need. We don't need more government. We just don't need that. Hi, Rick. So you jumped in here.
Yeah, sorry about that. My legs were hurting, so I had to rest them up, but I'm here. I'm dedicated, as always.
Oh, yes, you are, brother. I'm going to wait for Michael to get back George over here, but what do you think about Michael's rant, George?
To be honest with you, I had not heard
Hello?
Any of them.
Hello?
Oh, you didn't hear it?
No.
Hello?
No, it was very good.
I'm here.
But, yeah.
Can you hear me?
He's exactly right. He's right, and the thing is that George is doing a great job here as far as getting out the word, because he's doing it in a satirical way.
Mm-hmm.
He's got probably, I would imagine, a ton of liberals just either after him or siding with him. You know, one or the other. If you look at his website, I mean, the website is kooky. I mean, it's just like, what the heck are they talking about, you know?
And, I've got
you know,
George back.
All right. Yeah, and even the picture of Daphne Tremaine is, you know, I mean, she's a cute-looking girl. I mean, I got to say, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you know, I wanted to ask George, too, where did you get that picture? Whose picture is that?
She's you know what? When you build the website and you you get the software to build a website, they come up with all
stock photos.
Yeah, stock photos. So I mean, what I understand, when I surf the net, I see that there's a lot of blog sites out there, lots and lots of blog sites that have reacted to the whole Green Tremaine thing. They did a search and found out that whoever that model is, they're using her for some kind of like holistic foods, you know, thing. And she's also, I think she sells, she's like a model that she's the spokesperson that comes on and talks about shampoo or something like that. So the thing is, there's about 20 or 30 other websites out there. There might be hundreds of websites.
Oh, the irony, man. That is so ironic. I mean, that is just so cool and ironic.
I'd to her someday. You never know.
She might punch you out. You never know. I don't know.
That could be.
So obviously, you've either seen or are going to see the An Inconsistent Truth by Phil Valentine.
Oh, yeah. I love Phil Valentine. He is what a great guy. I tell you, when he is such a good sport. When he got the whole, you know, contact from Daphne. Him and Johnny B both are great guys. They they had me on the show, and I really love those guys. They're great.
Oh yeah, they're both great, man. I email Phil all the time. I actually did his banner for The Inconsistent Truth.
Yeah. Well, when you talk to him again, send my regards. I'd love to go back on with him. He's such a great guy.
Oh, he's fantastic. We love him up here in Tennessee, man. Glad to have him. Glad to have Michael Del Giorno just back Zach Poskovich, too. I wanted to ask you, Atlas Shrugged. I mean,
yes.
The movie, I mean, the author, Ayn Rand. It seems to me like you might be somebody that was into that or is into that. Totally.
Yep.
For the second
sure.
episode, and the first movie was excellent. And all of you, if you have not got a chance to see the first movie of Atlas Shrugged, go, you know, check it out. It's on sale. I think you can get it offline or something like that for $10 or less. It's great. It was a low budget film. They didn't even know if they were going to do it, if people would buy it, but it's great. And this ties in exactly with what you're talking about, because.
Yes.
It's the producers and it's the moochers, the leeches of
right.
society, and
that's
you
right.
know, you got Al Gore, who actually my wife is related to Al Gore. She don't say it much, but she's related to him,
Well, it's an old family. I mean, they go back to, they're from Tennessee, aren't they, originally?
Carthage, yeah. He's up
yeah,
there
and
Carthage.
It's an, they're an old family. The Gore family, I think, goes way, way back.
Oh, yeah.
Then, your wife must also be related to Gore Vidal, the novelist.
Yeah, he's related to everybody, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the guy started the internet, right? So, I mean, he's got to be kin to somebody. But
right.
Yeah,
right.
We went up there and just went around his house and so on a couple times, and you know, he's got every single light on. He's got, you know, the air conditioner is running. He's not even there. He's out on his boat.
Well,
I mean, this all ties together because this guy's a hypocrite, and he's
that's not true. No, he can afford to do that because he buys carbon credits. See,
I know, because that's still hypocritical. I mean, the guy is buying carbon credit. Look, okay, I tell you what. Let's start up a website so we can buy prostitute carbon credits. So if I want to go on the hook one night, I can sit there and just buy a carbon credit that when I get home and I feel better about myself.
Well, maybe I should
add
that to the Daphne stage.
Oh, I think you should. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know, a crack rock carbon credit.
We could do that, too.
Conditions up there. But I love what you're doing, man. I mean, what you're doing is satirical. It's just, to me, when I finally realized what you did to me by duping me, you know, I'm going, this guy has got something going here, you know. So I got to get him on the show. So me and Michael talked about it, you know. And I know last week we had a time thing going on, but man, it's just great to have you. And I want to get one of your nemesis in here real quick,
uh-huh,
so he can chat with you a little bit. He's been on hold for about 44 minutes. So,
okay,
he's the Alaskan. So if you go up there, you might not want to consider him as a tour guide. Okay.
I don't know. We might get it off. You never know.
Boy, come on in, brother. You're hot.
Hey, Daphne, how are you? How's your butt?
I think
your butt. Okay.
Just so you guys know, I think Daphne's going to go on a little bit of a vacation for a while.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, she needs to take a break from the whole carbon credit thing.
Yeah, well, I just want to know how your butt's doing, you know, because I know I got a couple of good clean shots in there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you say, because I have to tell you, one of the things that I've decided to do, if you check the webpage today, is, and you're good sports, and I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, I don't have a lot of money to run a big ad campaign. It's basically... So, Jimmy... Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you now, yeah. We were losing you there.
I'm going to go down. Hold on. Hold that thought. I'm going to go to work and get a better reception. Hold the phone.
All right. Yeah, old boy just running around trying to sit there and delete all your posts, and he thought you were a spammer. He didn't know who you was, you know. And somebody accidentally, I guess, allowed you in, Fred. But it ended up good fun, man. I mean, I'm glad we met you, because you mentioned earlier to me offline that you're going to join Trad Am and be a regular poster, and we appreciate that, man, because we need more constitutional people, history professors like you, you know, to get on there and actually explain to people what's going on, you know.
Hey, if you guys are willing to have me, I would love it. I would love to just, you know, communicate with you guys and have a back and forth about, you know, our tradition and all of that, and it would be great.
Yeah, well, so long as you don't wear that disguise you were wearing, I won't shoot you in the butt. How's that?
That sounds all right.
Hey, Boyd, it's Michael. How's it going? I'm back behind the microphone. I'm not on the road today. but I do have my beer sitting beside me. I'm just not in the van with it. Hey, listen, I just wanted to get we got a caller in, a friend of yours, George David from Dublin.
Oh, great. Dave, how are you?
I'm fine, George. As you know, I'm in love with Daphne, but that's not what I'm ringing about. I'm ringing just to congratulate the station for having you on. You're doing great, son.
Hey, you know, I have to say, David is a Facebook friend of mine, and from the very beginning, he was one of the people who I think maybe I spoofed him with the Daphne page, and he got the book early on and has been one of my great supporters and friends along the way, and it's very good to talk to you, David. I'm so happy to have the chance to say hi to you.
Good to talk to you too, George, and I can't stay on too long because the cost of telephone calls from Dublin, Ireland all the way to the U.S. is pretty high. But
oh,
I just want to say hello,
so nice,
and I want to wish you well.
Thank you, my friend. I hope we get a chance to spend more time talking. I very much appreciate your support.
Not at all. It's my pleasure, and as you know, it's only because I'm in love with that woman, but that's the only reason. Really, you know?
You're a sick freak, David. I'm telling you.
She's
a crazy book. She'll ruin your life. You will not have a life.
It's a great book. It's a great book, and I hope that's going to increase sales for you, this program that's on at the moment, George.
Thank you, David. I so much appreciate it. You're a good man.
David,
okay, so I better go, George. Let you get on
too
with the program, but it's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you for calling from Ireland. Man,
no problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Uncle Bing, Conservative Nation Radio says we have them. We have, and this is not the first time we've had folks calling from Ireland, as a matter of fact.
There might even be some people. I have to say, David is a great, great supporter of what I've been doing. He's a very funny guy. We've had some nice back and forth with some emails and over Facebook. But we're part of a Facebook group where we communicate frequently. You'd be surprised. There are a number of people in Australia, some very good people in Australia, who their government has absolutely run roughshod over the people.
Yep.
About this whole carbon tax that those people are dealing with. And if any of my friends from Australia are listening right now, I here's a shout out to you guys. I stand with you in solidarity. We've got to really pull together now.
Well, they've got a real strong Tea Party movement in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we got members from all over the world on Trad-Am. So, you know, we got, I think, isn't Terry Franks from Australia, boy?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's a pretty good poster, too. So, you know, just, you know, come on Trad-Am, man, and, you know, traditionalamericanmovement.com and kick it up, you know. We're the forum-based thing. See, you can only do so much here. You know, chat does not get recorded, all that kind of stuff. And chat doesn't get recorded on our site, but, you know, your posts do. So, and they are important. People read them. I mean, I see the hits and so on our site. So people do read them. So, yeah, we would love to have, you know, you and all your friends on board, man. Because it just makes we have to get together.
Absolutely, we do. These good people down in Australia are under all sorts of nonsense. You should see. I've communicated with people. There's a carbon tax for you to bury your dead. You can't put somebody in the ground. You can't say goodbye to a loved one and put them in the ground without paying a very heavy carbon tax. And
well, with
putting
them in the ground would be carbon tax enough, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that's what it's
going to
turn into. I mean, duh. I mean, I don't understand, you know, and this whole thing ties into the UN, and the UN needs to get, like Zach says, the UN needs to get out of the U.S., and the U.S. needs to get out of the UN. And this ties into the UN because they want to dominate and control America. And we have to, as a country, sit there and just basically say, go somewhere else. We don't want you anymore. You're ruining us. You're killing us. You know, and the people.
You know.
That,
go ahead. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
It's unbelievable. I'm going to have to probably start paying the car tax to buy ammo. I mean.
Yeah. Well, that was on. Daphne wanted that. You know. Did you see that Daphne was doing that? Yeah.
No,
Daphne
I'm sitting.
Wanted,
well, I thought I heard that somewhere.
To buy ammo.
Yeah.
You might have. I mean, I got most of Daphne's nonsense from real stories too. You know.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I want to read. Is Daphne going to piss me off? Or am I? I mean, I've got people calling in from Dublin saying they're in love with her. People from Boyd from Alaska saying he's in love with her. And then George is telling me that Daphne's talking about a carbon tax on ammo. You know us Texans. I mean, it's law of the West down here. We carry it on our sidearm. We carry it as a sidearm. So, you know, I mean, I go to Cowboy Stadium last night, and they're patting me down, and I had a fella from San Diego with me, and I said, man, I'm glad they didn't go too far down my boot. You know?
Well, but, Michael, look at Aurora, Colorado. I mean, you got Aurora, Colorado, and they put up no guns allowed in the theater. Look what happened there. I guess that sign did not help. I might as well put a sign out. You know, well, I can't put one out here because I have a lot of guns. But, you know, my neighbor might put up a sign that says, you know, I don't allow guns here. And I'll put up a sign next to him and say, well, I ain't going to protect you. You know, you're on your own, Bubba. You know what I mean?
That's right. You're on your own.
You might as well just tell people, look, come on in here and rape my wife and, you know, my daughter and kill me and do whatever, steal whatever you want because I don't have no protection. It's insane. It's insane.
It's a very different way of thinking. Yeah. It's crazy. Listen,
well,
I don't want to cut it short because I can't tell you how much fun I'm having talking to you guys. But pretty soon I'm going to have to go because my church is having a chicken barbecue tonight, and I'm heading up there to hang with my peeps up at church. But
well,
listen,
you don't
want to
miss the Yardbird.
Hey, where's your chicken carbon credits?
Yeah.
How does Daphne feel about that?
CO2.
They don't like it.
Is it Chick-fil-A chicken?
We don't have it in New York. You know, that's another thing. That's very funny because I've been following that story. We don't have that up in New York.
Well, I love me some Chick-fil-A, man. Jesus makes a good chicken sandwich, let me tell you. And
yeah,
always,
that sounds like a fantastic business, too.
Yeah.
Hey,
Bob.
Hey, George, before you go, you said you were going to offer a free autograph book to anybody that can answer a question.
Well,
so
I was going to say,
can answer a question?
Sure, but before I don't want to jump off, right away with you guys. I just want to let you know, though, as far as my book is concerned, Biodiesel, a novel, that the whole point of this book, the whole point of the webpage really was to steer people toward the book, and it's funny because a lot of people misunderstood. They kind of, you know, maybe I was a little too effective. I made the webpage a little too. Yeah, I mean, the problem was the webpage seemed a little too realistic. I thought it was going to be over the top and that people would realize, oh, this can't be for real. This is, you know, this woman's nuts. But
yeah, well, that's what we conservatives look at liberals as.
There's
no logic there. They are nuts, you know.
Yeah, nuts is normal for them.
That's why it came off as being a truism to me, you know. I'm like, okay.
That's reminiscent, George, of Halloween night in 1933 when George Orwell was 30-something.
Yeah.
When Orwell got on the radio and said the Martians have invaded and people. I mean, that's powerful when you write a fiction novel.
Right.
They didn't have websites back then, but my sensei, and I know he must have seen the humor in it. John LaRosa is a good friend of mine up in Boston. He's a political consultant. He's guided me in the world of social media, and I posted the promo for the show today on one of his web pages for conservative bloggers, and he said, Michael, what's this? I'm not going to pull it up right now, but something to the effect of what are you going to do with those carbon credits? And I said, well, they're good for Monopoly money. But I said, no, really, it's a fictional story based on a lady named Daphne. So obviously it's kind of effective.
Yeah. Well, listen.
I love the name, too, Tremaine. I mean, it just sounds so, like, you know, professional, I guess, in a way.
You
Daphne
guys are going to love the book. I really hope you guys get a chance to read the book, though, because once you read it, and then maybe we could come back on and talk about it, have a good laugh.
Well, what's the
website? Oh, I get it.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Tell us the website again so all the listeners can hear it.
Well, I have to be honest. I needed to take a little break from it. So what I've done is I've really put a disclaimer up there on the website, greentremaine.com. I've come clean and basically said, look, everybody, it's a satire. It's not legit. Because so many people were fighting me. They didn't see the joke in it, and they were angry. And I needed to take a step back.
Who were those people?
Well, I don't want to. No. In fact, that was the problem. Is that they're good guys. They're our guys. And you know, I've reached out to try to, you know, just the same as I did with you folks. You know, to try to get my own people from my own side to see. You know, let's have a laugh about this. But maybe I overplayed my hand. I don't know. And good guys are telling me.
I tell you what. I tell you what, you pissed me off, but now I'm in love with you, man. So,
and here's, George, you want to know what we do here on Soldiers of Patriotism? See, now you're divulging your secret, but here in a few minutes, I'm going to bring on a good friend of mine that's going to tell us a little bit about a story that is real, that's nonfiction, that she lived. And people are going to be really confused. So stick with your story, my brother. It's
great.
Hey, I think what we'll do is we're going to bring Daphne back. I'm going to bring back the webpage as it was, maybe in a couple of weeks. And, you know, hopefully what we can do is then, you know, kind of, it'll be a little bit more transparently satirical. In the meantime, what I would love to do, what I'm hoping to do, is it would be really great if we could kind of take this to the next level. I would love it if there's somebody out there who would be interested in taking this story, you know, read the novel and see how wonderfully uplifting this is, how the little guy wins in the end. Our guys win in the end. I'd love to see if we could make this a movie. Just the same, I know we don't have a lot of money. We don't have the big backing that Hollywood does. But if they could take Atlas Shrugged and turn it into a movie,
yeah,
I would be so happy.
Bill Valentine's Inconsistent Truth. He didn't have a lot of money for that either.
I know it. I would be so happy if somebody could read Biodiesel and saw in it the possibility of making an uplifting, and this is another thing, I'm very proud of this. This is the kind of book that you could give to your pastor. This is the kind of book that you could give over proudly and not shirk away from it like it's some kind of smutty, dirty story. This is a book that you can give to your children to read. And not worry that they're going to be assaulted with some kind of ugly story. It's an uplifting story where the good guys win.
Well, I know where we need to start, George. Maybe we need to start by getting a copy of it in the hands of Dinesh D'Souza.
Yes. Okay. That sounds perfect to me. I'd be very happy to send that out.
I mean, I don't know the guy, but you know, he's got an independent film that's about to come out called 2012 Obama's America that has all the signs of doing something better than that fat slob Michael Moore.
Michael Moore.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to try to get a copy of this over to Dinesh.
Well, listen, Bing, you got my email. Why don't you, if you can, I don't know this fellow, but if you could email me his address, I would be so happy to. You know, to send a copy out. And listen, I'm going to send an autographed copy to somebody. He's got to win. Somebody's got to win one.
Well, I'm going
to
let
them
take care.
Yeah, they have to answer a question that will post by you. So
who's going to autograph it, George or Daphne?
maybe both of them can.
Hey, when you redo your website, George, maybe Daphne needs a whip or something. I don't know.
We've got a lot of callers on the line, so let's
get them in here.
Great.
Let's get Virginia on here to see if she can answer the question. Virginia,
yeah, I'm coming to you.
Well, first, Virginia, let me introduce you to George Monahan. You've been hearing the story. George is a writer. George, I want to introduce you to a very dear friend of mine, Virginia Proden, and I'm going to find you on Facebook. I'll send you her YouTube link. This lady came from Romania. You heard me refer to her in my editorial. This lady, Ronald Reagan and his administration got her over here from under the thumb of Nicolae Ceaușescu. She's lucky that her and her children left with their lives. Virginia's a great American patriot, and so we've got her on the line. Go ahead and let's and you hang tight after the question, okay, buddy? But let's see if we can maybe we can get the book.
Hi, Virginia. Hello?
What?
Yes, Virginia, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you so much. It's nice to hear your story.
It's good to talk to you. I was very impressed with the clip I heard earlier in the day.
Oh, thank you so very much. I believe that I was saved for a reason, and that is to speak up the truth and do what you are doing. You know, to tell the truth and make people aware that they are lies, and we don't have to listen to the lies, and we have to speak up and be courageous and let them know the truth.
That's right. You know, Virginia, when I heard that clip from you before, I have to say I have not been to Romania, but I was in the Soviet Union back during communism, and I kept thinking back about what a horrible, miserable place it was, and how miserable, miserable communism is, and I was very moved by what you said. Thank God you were able to come, and thank God you were able to spread that message.
Yeah. Well, it is horrible. Communism is horrible, and I was born in under communism. But we are smart enough to understand that if we look back at the history and we understand how horrible communism is, we can stand up and make people aware. You know, like you. You mentioned in your talk that sometimes you talk with young people and you convince them about the truth. That's the same mission that I have. People sometimes are impressed when I tell them, young people are just confused. If you sit down with them and you tell them, like in my case, I tell them what I experienced and what communism is all about, and I ask them if they want to build a society as affordable as that, the majority of them, I can say 100% of them, will say no. I don't want to live in a society like this. So what we have to do, and I admire you for what you are doing, is to be a counter voice to the lies that they're everywhere. We have to stand up even when we think that we are just by ourselves.
That's right.
There are many people that want to listen and want to hear our point of view. And we never have to believe that we are alone. I cannot do what you are doing with all the environment and all the things because it's your specialty. As you cannot do what I can do explaining people and telling them how life can be under communism. But if we, each one of us, will do the job, then we convince people, and people will cross the line and will come to our side. I can't tell you how many times people will just email or call me and then say, you convinced me, and now I understand all of those things that liberals are saying about socialism being wonderful. It's a lie. And you can
do this.
Yeah, you can do this when you support the candidate. I support Ted Cruz, and I go in headquarters, and I do the banking. I walk around, you know, neighborhood, and I do everything that's possible. I have signs, and I do everything that is possible. I use all the media and everything. And I had people that they call me or put on Facebook, and I said, I voted, and because I understood from you, you put so many information about the candidate, now I voted for Ted Cruz. So each one of us, we have in the area that we choose, and we can be very strong in our area and educate others.
Absolutely.
I admire you for doing that, and especially in the classroom.
Virginia,
I always said in my speech that the most dangerous place for young people to be in the United States is in a college classroom.
Oh, yes. I would love it. If you ever get to New York, I would so much love it. I would have you into my classroom. I would just love to have you speak to my students.
I would think it
would be a dangerous place just to have conservatives in New York. I mean, you know.
Well, Virginia, let's let George ask you his question, and then we've got plenty of time today, buddy. So I do want to bring you back on to speak some more to our audience today. But George's got to get going here pretty soon. He's got to get to church.
My wife just told me she's going to go to the church and get it as takeout, and we're going to bring it home. But if you have other stuff to do, I would bow out. But I'm having so much fun talking to you, good people.
Then heck, you get to round table with us, George. So you two, because this is great. Because it's as I alluded just a minute ago, Uncle Bing, we've got George Monahan, who wrote a fiction story that has irritated our side. And at the same time, we have Virginia Proden, who has a nonfiction, that is a real story that our side loves to hear. And to hear these two people talk, this scholar and this lady who is an attorney for human rights, who became an attorney under Nicolae Ceaușescu, one of the worst tyrants in communist history, get to speak together. I mean, nowhere else but Soldiers of Patriotism can this happen. So you two, go after it.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I wanted to say to Virginia, and this is a very important point, as a traditional American, is that, you know, my ancestors came over before the Civil War. My ancestors were victims of the famine in Ireland, which was awful. It was a terrible tragedy. The potatoes weren't, the harvest was very poor, and many people were driven from Ireland, and so many people wound up coming over to the United States, and those were my ancestors. They came over here. And, you know, New York there's a lot of Irish folks, you know, a lot of people like me of Irish ancestry in the New York area. But I make it a point of saying to my students, because New York is a very kind of ethnic, you know, a lot of ethnic identity, a lot of different people from different ethnic groups. I really try to make the point to my students and to my friends. I say, you've got to realize that being an American is not an ethnicity. It's not a bloodline. Being an American is a philosophy. You know what I mean?
I love that. I love
it. It's a philosophy. You could come from the most remote corner of the world. I've said this in class to my students. You could be wearing a loincloth with a bone in your nose and a plate in your lip, and you could have you could be standing there naked in some far-flung corner of the world. But if you were to pick up a copy of John Locke and read the Second Treatise on Government, if you were to pick up a copy of Jefferson and read the Declaration of Independence and read Thomas Paine and read the Founding Fathers.
Or the Federalist Papers.
Yeah, the Federalist Papers, right. Read the Federalist Papers. And, you could be this person living in some far-off remote corner of the world. And if you were to read those foundational documents of our tradition, our heritage, And not be of English ancestry. I'm not. As far as I know, I'm not of English ancestry. I might be. But the point of it is, it's not an ethnicity. It's a philosophy. And for that person who reads the John Locke or Thomas Jefferson and says, that's what I identify with, and they see Old Glory flying on the mast, and they salute Old Glory and say, that's my flag. That's what I believe in. That person is my brother. That person is my kinsman.
Right. And the thing is, in this country, we were lucky enough to be born into freedom.
That's right.
Not into slavery.
that's right.
Like other countries, like Romania and like East Germany was and all that kind. You know, we were born into freedom. So we know what freedom is. We have a taste of it, but
that's
we're losing it, some of it. And when we go out to look at our flags that we put out, not anybody else, but that we put out, that's our pride in our country. That's what
we
stand up for, and that's what we fight for. And
right now,
there is a big movement with liberals wanting to take that away from us. But I wanted to get Kurt on line here real quick, because he's been on hold for like 42 minutes, man. I'm sorry about that, Kurt.
No problem.
Kurt, you're online right now. Go ahead, buddy.
No,
got any
no
questions,
problem on the
comments?
Way. Yeah, man. No problem on the weight thing. I mean, you know, you got people on here that need to talk. You know, let them on there. You know.
I will go for it, buddy.
I just pardon.
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Look. Yeah. You know, right now, I've got one thing on my mind. Well, there's really more than that, but. The preeminent thing here is next Thursday, this election that we have coming up, this Republican primary, far too many people are thinking just in terms of the general election in November. I spent yesterday down in Fayette County and Tippin County down in Tennessee, close to Memphis, for those that are out here that are not familiar with the area. And I talked to a lot of people. I sat down on the side of the road for 4 hours with a guy named Terry Mullins. Terry is retired Navy, and after his Navy career, he went to work for FedEx down there. And Terry, incidentally, is unhappy with his former employee for the role they played in politics in Tennessee this year in defeating some Tea Party legislation. But he can't unring that bell. But Terry decided to run for the state house, and he's running the first plank in his platform. He is known across the area as Term Limits Terry.
Hmm.
And Zach has been down in that part of the country multiple times. As a matter of fact, Zach, Terry, and I stood on the same piece of road that we were on yesterday afternoon for 4 hours with our signs, and Terry has a sign on his truck like I do, and Matt, it did my heart good yesterday to the people that are driving by. There's a steady flow of traffic, and people are honking at us and waving one right after the other. Which, in a way, that's more important to Terry, but it's also, that's his home turf. But those people are seeing Zach's name down there, too, and that's a densely populated county. So, you know, I mentioned Terry's run because there is a new breed of politicians. If you will allow me this moment, I want to go on a different, a little bit different thing here, folks. God is raising up, in my opinion, God is raising up some new people in this battle. I have seen things over the last 6 months that there's no other explanation for, except there's divine intervention in this. We were looking for a candidate when we found Zach, and Zach turned out to be the man that we're looking for to do this job. I believe he's going to win this primary election next Thursday because, for one thing, the anti-Corker sentiment across this state is huge. It is huge, folks.
It's big time.
Most of,
nobody likes
most
him.
Of you listen. Yeah, most of you listening here know this already. But this is a grassroots campaign that Zach is running. He goes in beholden to no corporation, no powerful entity. The only people he's beholden to are the people, we the people of the state of Tennessee who have worked for him and those who are going to vote for him. And it's the same thing with Terry Mullins down there. In Tipton County, Term Limits Terry, God bless him, he has literally received death threats down there. You see, that's Jimmy Nafee country. He's in Jimmy Nafee's backyard running for term limits. Even though Nafee's out of the house now, he's still a powerful political entity down there. But We've got other candidates across the state. I'll mention a couple of them real quick if I can separate these two sheets of paper here because my memory is failing me. Up in the 45th District north of Nashville, we have Lieutenant Colonel Courtney Rogers running against Deborah Maggard, who is Haslam's right hand. No, she's Haslam's left hand. Beth Harwell, Speaker of the House, is Haslam's right hand, and Maggard is his left hand. There's a good chance that Courtney Rogers will beat Deborah Maggard. There was 50 or so Tea Party people from across the state that went to Hendersonville and Goodlettsville yesterday and stood on street corners and waved signs and went out and knocked doors campaigning. The poll was taken. It was a dead heat up there. It was so close that Bill Haslam called for a special fundraiser day yesterday up there in that area. That's how scared they are. There's a movement that has been born across America, and I had something popped in my mind today, and I'm working on an article for the paper here, and I call it Just a Little Bit. I'm just going to read you a couple of excerpts out of it. It only takes a little bit of poison to kill the entire body.
Oh, man.
It only takes a little bit of medicine to heal the entire body.
Right.
I want to talk about some of the medicine that we have experienced and are experiencing now. It only took a little bit of time for Rick Santelli's life to deliver his famous rant on the floor of the Chicago Stock Exchange that birthed the Tea Party movement. Look what it did. It only took Todd Beamer a moment to make up his mind to say, oh, let's roll. It only took a little bit of time for Fred Hoke and Bing Fisher to birth the idea of the traditional American movement. Look what it's done. It only took a little bit of Zach's time to birth the will to run for this U.S. Senate seat. And on April 15, 2009, it only took a little bit of my time standing on the court square in Paris, Tennessee, to decide to do what I've been doing ever since then. It only took a little bit of Terry Mullins and Lieutenant Colonel Courtney Rogers and Woody Deegan to decide to run against Mark Norris down by Memphis. All these decisions that were made only took a little bit of time, but had we not taken that little bit and built on it, it would have been a far different scenario than it is today. And we're where we are, folks. We're standing on the edge of success. And in my mind, I have adopted a mental attitude that's going to be politically incorrect to a lot of people. But I have the Nathan Bedford Forrest attitude, folks. Those of you who are Civil War history buffs know what I mean. Firstest with the mostest.
That's right.
Get there firstest with the mostest, folks.
That's
this
right.
This fight has just begun. November's not the end. It's the end of the first chapter. A great movement has been birthed in America, and that movement must continue to grow in order for us to recapture what was once our greatness in this nation, folks. So stick with it, everybody. Spread the word. Spread the word and bring the people in.
Amen.
Bring them into the fold in this fight. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, brother. Amen, Kurt.
Amen.
And yes, it sometimes does take a little bit of time and energy, but it's well worth it. And because it's well worth it to me, because I look at my 14-year-old daughter growing up, and I can't have her going through what I know she's going to go through. So, and I know there's other people in this movement for all different reasons and so on. But, yeah, it does take just a little time. Just a little time, man. It's, you know, really, a lot of people with a little time, we can make a lot of time.
Exactly. There are still too many people sitting at home that want to watch the Olympics or Dancing with the Stars or whatever. And that's
Dancing
not
with the Stars.
Bad thing with them itself. But it's what they're choosing to do and what they're More importantly, it's what they're choosing to not do. The selfish attitude has to be put back on the shelf, and they have to learn to behave like our founding fathers did, who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor in that battle. And that's
Amen.
What we and many other Americans must do.
Well, when those that sit on the couch and so on are, you know, eventually maybe put in jail or eventually have some kind of thing happen to them by via fiat by government control, then, you know, it might be too late for them. But for the rest of us, yeah, we got our heads tuned on.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Get somebody else in here, Bing. And you take care, and I'll see you later.
Thank you, Kurt. Yeah, if you can post that over at TradAm, that would be great, man. I don't know if you already did.
When I finish it, I will.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, Brother Kurt Blackwood.
Kurt, do we need to leave you on parked so you can listen to the show, brother?
Yeah, you leave me on parked because I still haven't picked it up online.
Okay, brother. All right, go ahead, Dave.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, what he said, just, you know, I mean, that he's absolutely correctly right, you know. We've got to fight, and we've got to fight in a smart way. You know, there's like working smart and working dumb. There's actually fighting smart and fighting dumb, too. And we have to fight smart. And I think we got some smart people on board with us.
Well, if I can add something, I would say that, and I said that many times in my speeches, don't try to or avoid to ask, you know, the human question, why me? Why do I have to do it? Just do it, because you will be so amazed how many people will follow your example, and how much you'll be encouraged by others that you will meet in your way of doing what is right, because they are doing what is right. And it's just
right.
A lot that you are alone or you're going to be by yourself. That is not true. And I do believe, you know, Glenn Beck last night mentioned that we have to rewrite the culture. We have, because our culture has been altered, modified by the philosophy and idea.
They've stolen our culture. That's
yes,
that's why I wrote my book. I wrote Biodiesel, trying to wage the culture war. They've stolen our culture. They've taken away the best part of who we are.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Individuals.
They say that we are not the best country in the world, which is not true. They said that we cannot do it, that the government has to do it for us. Those
right.
are ideas of socialism and communism, and we have to go out and stand by our own example, and each one of us on this line, and I'm sure the millions of listening are doing the same thing. They are doing their part, and they encounter, by doing their part, so many people that are doing the right things, and we will overcome. We will change and rewrite the culture. We will get rid of entitlement attitude by our own example and our deeds. That's the hope. And by our faith in God that He's going to help us. We're going to help others, and God will provide for us and for others to multiply and do things,
Amen.
Not wait for the government.
And,
Amen.
And,
that was
and
the gospel, for, you know. That was the scripture
Virginia.
Today in church.
Yeah, in Virginia, look at how many of these little despot dictators have been shot by their own people, destroyed
exactly.
by their own people, or put out. Their own people don't like them. But the thing is that we—that's why we have the Second Amendment in this country. It's not to protect. It's not for hunting. It's not for anything else other than for us to protect our rights as Americans against the government, our own government that serves us or is supposed to serve us. And that's what that's there for. Do you? I sometimes wonder why the Second Amendment was put right after the First Amendment.
Exactly.
I don't know. It just makes me curious.
That's right. You couldn't have a First Amendment unless you had a Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment
is the servant of the First Amendment.
And back then people had to be assured that King George, this was not going to be another King George plan or, you know, Rouse or whatever. So we needed these amendments in there. We needed to tell people, look, this is not the same thing that what you came from. This is what we are trying to get away from.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And that I always wondered that, you know, as far as when the framers, came up with the Bill of Rights and the Declaration. What order? I mean, did they had to have sat down and thought out some order. I'm just not. I haven't seen it. I'm not that bright enough to figure it out. But I can figure out that okay, freedom of speech. That's pretty doggone important. And after that, you need to protect the freedom of speech. So you need guns, and you need to protect yourself against the government.
Not only that, but when they created every document, if we look back at and we read about them, they never started anything without praying, without reading the Bible, without asking the Lord to clarify their mind, to help them understand what exactly they have to do. Their relationship with God was so close that everything that they wrote was like second after the Bible, because they were guided by God, and that's exactly what we have to do now. He said, if my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land.
That's right.
That's a promise. That's a promise. We might like to think that we are smart and we can do it, but the Bible tells us, apart from me, said Jesus, you can do anything. But with him, we are more than conquerors. So we have to be in tune with God, and he will give us the same kind of ideas, the same kind of perspective of plan, like he gave to our forefathers.
And we are all here for a reason. We are in this chat channel. We are on this show for a reason. That's what I firmly believe. I know I believe that because that's in, like Michael said earlier, that's in my veins. And I live it every day.
Yes.
And I know we're here for a reason. So we just have to, as Kurt said earlier, very good rant too, is that we just have to sit there and start taking a little bit of time and doing what we can, okay? Granted, you know, each person can't do everything, but as a whole, we are the board. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We can accomplish whatever we want to if we put our minds to it.
Hey, well, guys,
George?
Let me jump. Oh, go ahead, George.
No, that wasn't me.
No,
I asked George if he wanted to comment.
I'm here.
And I want to say is I was impressed. I don't know if you noticed or it was important, but on the last event with Beck Glenn and many other events, I was impressed by the number of young people. I am impressed everywhere I go and do some political actions and help candidates, how many youngsters, they come on board because they want to help and they want to hear. I believe that we as Republicans, we have to develop a better skill on explaining to youngsters why communism works, why capitalism works, why freedom works, and how the government is trying to struggle capitalism, and that is the reason why we have problems.
Hey, Virginia, could I jump in? It's George.
Yes.
I just want to tell you something. As a professor, what you're saying right now, I urge, I beg everyone that's listening. Listen, I don't know, you know, some people can, some people can't, but you've got to take a job. You've got to homeschool your children. If you can't, full time.
George, you there? He must have hit a bad signal.
Yes.
We'll give him just a minute here. Well, while we're waiting for him to reconnect, what I was thinking real quick, Uncle Bing, is I got I don't want to play that. That's 10 minutes. That's more than I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and open up some lines. Let's get Brother Danny in here, and let's get Boyd back on. And let's get Kurt back in here. Let's open up the lines, and I'm going to call George back. And let's just rant. We've got. I'm going to open up all the lines, Bing. You can see who's there. I'll let you go through it while I'm going to duck out for a minute and call George back. Okay.
All right. Great thing, man. Yeah, Virginia. I think if you and George, we could probably do a show one night one Sunday or something like that or whatever, and just you two. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
And then you two get together. That might make a great lesson for his class.
I would love to have Virginia in. I gotta say that would be so great.
Because we record each episode here, George. So. You know, you could play it back for your class or whatever.
Yeah,
and I think that would be just an excellent opportunity for you to get comments and so on.
And George,
I want to say something. I am a really strong believer in the power of prayer. I will put you and your class on my prayer list, and I will share it with my prayer partners that God will use you in a mighty way to clarify and just help those youngsters. And if the good Lord opens an opportunity for me to come, I will be more than happy and honored to do this.
Well, Virginia, you know what we need to do? Bing has to put you in contact with me. Bing will give you my email. And then even if you can't come to New York, even if you cannot come, I would love it. But maybe we could do something like we can do a simulcast, or maybe we could do it through Skype or something. I'd love to have you speak to my class. It would be really great.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, guys, me and Michael are talking about doing, of course, you know, we're doing a three-hour show now, and we're talking about doing a video show, I don't know about after this show, but during the week sometime. So we're going to be doing live video, so that would be something that you'd be interested. That would be on Tradam TV, and then we'll integrate that with conservative talk radio. So it's something to look at, and it's something that I'm playing around with. I've been playing around with it for 2 days now, and actually longer than that, for 2 years now. But anyways, Rick, I mean... what are your comments as far as George goes? His book is just great, man. I mean, I haven't read it yet, but I know the guy. I mean, I just, you know, I just can, went from my couple conversations with him, it's like, you know, this guy is fantastic. I love what he's doing here. He's taking something that was not selling for him, and he's being an entrepreneur, and he's taking it to the next level.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, like I was telling Teresa and PM in the chat, which at first I thought was Michael, but that's beside the point. But George, I would love to have you come on my show on Saturday sometime.
You bet, anytime.
Yeah, Brenda Bulow is the rock star of conservative talk radio, man. So I mean, the guy has helped me out tremendously. So
that would be great.
That'd be a great book.
Bing, if you can, Bing, if you could send me his contact info via Facebook or even via ChatAm, you know, I can always get a hold of him and see when and see what day would be good for him.
Quiet.
Will do. Will do, Rick.
I'm completely on board. I would love to talk with you guys anytime.
Danny South.
Yes, sir.
You're on. So,
what's happening today?
What do you think? What do you think about Daphne Tremaine and her carbon credit tycoon deal?
I thought three-card mining was illegal.
It's only illegal if you get caught, man.
I mean, this is. I mean, that's the biggest scam since three-card mining, seriously.
You bet.
Carbon credits, I mean, they're making something that doesn't exist, a commodity.
Hey,
well,
listen,
I
didn't get your name.
A Federal Reserve that does, you know, a commodity, really. What do you think about it?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, the caller.
Oh,
I didn't get the name.
Danny Stout.
Danny, listen, I don't know if you've gone, I hope you get a chance to read my book, but for anyone who hasn't yet, if you go to the greentremaine.com website, there is a chapter of my book. I put a chapter of my book up there, kind of like a teaser, you know, so you could get a little bit of a taste of what it's about. And
right.
it's under the label that says How Carbon Credits Work. And it's actually chapter 10 of my book. It's pretty, you know, it's one of the deeper chapters of the book. But it goes into the whole scam of, you're right, it's three-card Monty. It's completely a total scam. It's a total fake lie. And I hope you get a chance to check out the webpage and maybe read the book.
Okay, I'll do that. And,
yeah, when somebody tells me that CO2 is dangerous for me, I'm like, nah, I don't know about that because, you know, I'm sitting there looking at my dogs. I exhale CO2. I mean, you don't see it as smog. They want to portray it as smog. They just the liberal media wants to portray anything with carbon because, see, carbon's black and it's just nasty and it's just, you know, icky, you know. So that there is their crux of the biscuit that they're looking at, but the thing is that CO2 doesn't do damage to the environment. They say, well, the glaciers are melting. Well, let me tell you something. If you ever been in science class and you put ice cubes in a glass of water and they start melting, that glass of water ain't going to get no higher than what the ice cubes are.
That's right.
And people need to start calling these people out on these idiotic remarks.
We're made of carbon. We're made of carbon.
Well, and the trees need CO2. And the plants.
Yeah.
Unless they talk wrong in science.
Well, it's junk science. You got 30,000 scientists or plus, George? That are against this, that don't believe in what they're, you know, who is the organization over there? It's UN-based. I mean, it's all UN-based.
Listen, here's the deal. Here's the story. And what you're saying, I forget what the exact number is. But even, no matter what the number is, here's the story. Let's go back in history. Let's go back to Galileo. Galileo said... He was standing on the shoulders of Copernicus. Copernicus was the guy who came up with the idea that maybe, the sun didn't go around the earth. Rather, maybe it was the earth that went around the sun. And Galileo was the guy who popularized that theory. He said, no, it's the sun that goes around the earth. Well, every scientist in the day... Every scientist said, no, the Earth was the center of the universe. All of the scientists agreed. The Earth is the center of the universe, and the sun goes around the Earth. Hmm. And you know what happened? They ganged up on Galileo, and they got him into court, and they convicted him, and they sentenced him to life in prison. And it turns out all of the credible scientists, all of the scientists said Galileo was wrong. And you know what? Today we know Galileo was right. So science is not determined by consensus. Science is not a popularity contest. Science is a mode of thought. It's a approach to problem. It's not a consensus game. It's not a popularity contest. It's a way of problem solving. And until we realize that science is ever evolving and ever changing, we have to have the humility to stand back and say that science is something that we use, but we have to have the ability to realize that science is always changing. We have to say that science, our best data is something that we have now. Today's science suggests thus and so. But there could be a new discovery tomorrow. Something could come along to change what we believe today scientifically. And we have to have the humility to realize that. Science is not God. Science is a way of understanding the world.
And science has been politicized.
You bet.
It's become a political type of argument or hinge that they want to use to ram down our throats or to get in the door somewhere. You know, we got compact fluorescent light bulbs, you know, the CFLs. And what's wrong with the regular ones? I like the regular ones, but
fine.
You got these mercury-filled things that everybody's telling us, well, you know, they've got big lead push on, you know, on their TV and radio ads now. You bought lead. I mean, I didn't know we had lead in paint anymore. What is this big push coming back from? I mean,
yeah.
they're just trying to scare people, you know. And we got CFLs with mercury in them where you need a hazmat team if you wanted got a burned out light bulb and you want to dispose of it. I mean, what kind of crazy stuff is that? I mean, that's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Hey, let's bring in, if we can, real quick, guys. We've got a new caller on, and let's get her on and let her see what she has to say, and then we'll run through this thing. We've still got Boyd in Alaska and Kurt hanging on and Danny. But let's bring in real quick. George, I'd like to introduce you to the a host of another show of ours here on Conservative Nation Radio Shows. I'm fortunate in that I've got two of my fellow hosts that work underneath my banner, Conservative Nation Radio Shows. We've got Billy Cotter on, who does Nobomination. So, hey, Billy,
oh,
what's going on, buddy?
Billy, baby.
Hey, Billy.
Oh, let me take her off mute. I'm sorry about that, Billy.
I was about to do that. But...
My hands don't move as quick as my brain.
It's okay. Hey, guys, how's everyone doing?
Doing all right.
Oh, that's great. I hear this, and I'm automatically, I've said this before, it takes me right back to a comment that my father-in-law has used before about the environmentalists on college campuses. When it came down to it, in the 50s, I believe, is when he went to college, and they had, like, young communists trying to get people recruited. And it wasn't working. Nobody would go to their table. But then the next thing you know, the next time he sees these same people, they're wearing T-shirts saying save the trees, and now they're environmentalists, and everybody's flocking to them. And
that's where I
get really, I'm not saying paranoid or anything, but that's where when they come up with any kind of environmentalist issue, I'm just seeing communism.
You bet.
In the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well,
they've
used themselves and disguise themselves as environmentalists, but they are communists.
Oh,
yeah. There's no doubt about it. Because
Virginia talks at the root of it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's easier this way to confuse people and to lie to them. Because nobody wants to be called communist because everybody knows how horrible it is. But if you think you are so right, I am so proud of you that you said it better than I could have said it. They are communists. Nothing
oh,
else.
Oh, yeah, we're saving the planet. We're helping the children.
Right,
that's
because
another
it's,
lie
a,
you say to.
It's an ideology that can't be proven. It's an ideology that can't be proven one way or the other. You can't prove, just like they say, you can't prove the existence of God. Well, and lo and behold, I can say I know God personally and I'm on many levels. So
yes.
They call me a fruitcake on the left because I say that. And they say you can't see, touch, feel, or anything. Just like I can't prove God is the creator of Earth and God is the one who will destroy the Earth. They are convinced they have control. And that in and of itself comes down to the whole philosophy of whether I am God or God is God or God is
I. Oh, you are so right. You are so absolutely dead on, dead center right. That is so correct. You know something? You have nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. That's what these people do. They have set up the earth as the new object of worship. And
exactly.
So what you have said is so absolutely true. We know God on a personal level. I could sit and argue with you, and this is something I'm a devout Christian. I'm Roman Catholic, and I'm deeply philosophical. I've been studying, you know, Christian philosophy for my entire adult life. I just sit and I can
Roman Catholic, so you know.
And I could argue with you on a philosophical level why God exists, but you know what? None of that matters. The fact of the matter is that unless you know God, unless you have a relationship with God, it's always going to be an external idea. So God, we don't believe in God because somebody sat down with a graph and proved to us on a flow chart why God exists. We believe in God because we know him, we have a relationship with him.
You know, I've got a good analogy for this that I've thought about in the past as far as belief in God. And y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but just go with me here for a second.
I'll hear you.
So the left is going to say to me, you can't prove the existence of God. Well, prove to me the existence of electricity is my response to them. So, and then they say, well, you can see electricity. You could stick your finger in the socket and electrocute you. You can feel it. You can turn on a light. You can see what electricity causes. You know what my response to them is? You stick your finger in that plug and it electrocutes you. That's the same feeling I get in my belief of God.
Exactly.
That's right.
You nailed it. And that is the thing.
Right.
And I am also a Roman Catholic. And I go back when it comes down to my personal experiences. I go back to when I was, old enough to remember things that my grandmother was telling me. And she would tell me, it's not because you believe that you have faith. It's because you have faith that you believe. And that faith
Absolutely.
Is given to you in the womb. It
Absolutely.
Was not something that's just a revelation at one point in your life. It was given to you as a gift by God
That's right.
in the womb.
The
that's
scripture
why God
says faith
says
is a gift.
Before you were in the womb, I knew you.
That's
why he says that. And that faith is we use.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, guys, I was at Glenn Beck's Restoring Love last night, and he had a lot of historical artifacts there. Glenn is a history George, you may or may not know this. Glenn is a history buff.
He's more than a buff. He's not a buff. Glenn might not have a degree in it, but he is. I would embrace Glenn as one of the great, great historians of our modern time. He might not have a degree, but I love Glenn Beck. He, I think, is God's appointed man for this hour. I love him so much.
Well, and thank
yeah,
you.
You're
and correct.
Right.
I'll say that I am a history buff. And he had artifacts there. He had Lincoln's table where he sat and contemplated how the choices that were before him as far as either saving the Union or letting the South split off. He had a log there that was underneath the gurney in the medical station at Valley Forge that was soaked. Whew. Soaked with the blood of patriots.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He had Eisenhower's helmet there. He had Martin Luther's, he had a sign there that was carried in the protest in the 50s and 60s that said, one of the original posters that said, I am man. He had a painting there. And I alluded to all of this in my editorial.
The first Bible that was printed by the Congress.
Thank you, yes. Virginia. That's exactly where I was going. Virginia, take it. I want you to tell the story, please.
Okay, I really believe, George, you're right, that he is God's messenger. He is so amazing. And Michael, you're right. He has so many artifacts there because the reason he wanted to say is, and he said at the end, that we receive freedom. Others fought for us. We cannot take credit, but it's our time to stand up and do what is right. And what impressed me the most was on that log, Michael, if you remember, he is showing a bullet that is in the log, and you cannot take the bullet out of the log, because he is saying, and it's showing, if you watch online, is saying the log embrace the bullet.
It tried to heal around it.
Exactly. And it's time for America to heal from the wounds of the past and stop talking about those wounds that divide us, and to heal and to go on. It was just amazing. But I wanna say to both of you, George, and because you both are talking about communism and the philosophy and the environment, what I want to say is you are perfectly right. It is a philosophy that replaces God, but not only that, but gives people false idea that they don't have to listen to God anymore. They can listen to themselves, and they become God. But it's false, because if you look at what they are doing, they are telling people, you know, your sin is not sin, you can do whatever you want. And then on their own sin, they grab people and they make slaves. So based on their philosophy, we are the slave of greed, we are the slaves of wrath and everything. I had seen on Facebook and people that put that are so right, like an image of a child. And it says, please think about me that I am a tree and don't kill me. Because we don't kill trees, but we kill people. Because we replace God with trees.
Yes. Listen, folks, I have to bail. My wife is calling me. We have some people over with the food from the church barbecue. I got to go inside and eat. But I want to just say one last thing, if I could.
Yes,
you know, Virginia. I hate to do this because I can't tell you how much fun I'm having talking to you folks. I love every one of you. I feel like family with you people. But Virginia, you're absolutely right. Please keep this in mind, and this is the thing. You know, when I wrote my book, when I wrote Biodiesel and Daphne, this clownish character, and Bing, you'll remember this. She's this yoga instructor from the Gaia, what is it? I'm trying to remember the Gaia Yoga Women's Holistic Wellness Center, right?
Holistic, yeah.
Yeah. We
it
have
was
to remember
freaky
this.
Thing.
Yeah. Well, Gaia is this pagan name for Earth, you know? And they elevate the Earth as though the Earth is our mother. That's not true. As, you know, we have to go back and realize this, is that God created this world. I remember the words of the great Bishop Fulton Sheen. God created the world as a stage, as a veil, as he put it, upon which to form human souls. This world was created for the purpose of forming human souls. And this world is the stage upon which the human soul is developed and reaches its maturity in the eyes of God. And we have to remember that we don't worship the earth. The earth is not our mother. The earth is our sister. She is our sister in God's creation. She's not our mother. And that's a very important point. We have to remember that in all things, God is our Father. He is our Creator. We are not the children of the earth. We are the brothers and sisters of the earth.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And as such, we need to take stewardship of the earth. And that
and
means
George,
the people, too, involved in
it. And, George, I just wanted to welcome you to, you know, I'm on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central Time on Obama Nation here on Conservative Nation. If ever you want to stop by and listen, go ahead. And, you know, you're always welcome to join in. And I welcome everybody onto my show when we talk about the abominations that are taking place in this country right now.
And we'll make sure that George gets all of the hosts' information, George, all of the hosts that work with Bing and I.
And Virginia, too.
And Virginia, as well as Virginia. I'm not one to say people that work for me. They don't work for me. They are my partners. They help me make Conservative Nation Radio a success. And they're all Rick, Bing, Billy, Brenda Ward. I've got a college student, so they're on summer break right now. Virginia is actually coming into the fold on the blog side. And so Conservative Nation Radio is growing. I will make sure that there's a mass-wide email sent out so that everybody can connect with everybody. George, it's been great to have you on. Real quickly, before you go, and I know you got to go, who won the autograph book?
Well, no, here's the deal. Here's the story. I'm going to leave it to you good people because I trust you good people. Here's the plan. I want you all to pick four good people. Pick four people that won an autographed copy. And you email me with their information, their contact, their address, and I'm going to send out four different autographed copies to whoever you tell me I should. And
okay.
They're going to get a nice autographed copy of the book.
Well, we will
that's very great, man.
And for everyone else, I hope you get a chance to read this book, and I hope we get a chance to laugh about this, and I really hope we get a chance to talk about this again.
Absolutely.
Oh, we will, George.
Yeah, I know. I would definitely like one, if at all possible.
Sounds
good. Right on Rick's show.
We're going to round table it, Brother Rick.
Sounds good.
Thanks, George. Have fun with your family. Thank you so much for spending an hour and a half with us.
Later, George.
Enjoy the barbecue.
Great show, and I can't thank you enough. I'll let you close out your segment.
I love you guys. I've only been on with you this one time, but I feel like we're family, and I really do hope we get a chance to talk again.
Yes, and I definitely
want to
talk
with
Virginia. And I'll send you the link that you can go ahead. I'm sure Virginia would be fine with you taking it to your classroom, a YouTube. It's a 9-minute show just kind of a precursor, and I'll put Virginia in touch with you.
Excellent, excellent.
Thank you.
All
thank
right,
you
listen,
so much,
great
George.
Night, everybody. I hope to talk to you all soon.
You too, Daphne. Sometimes I hated you back then, but I love you now.
Good night now.
Night, George.
Good night, brother.
Bing, that was a great guest segment. It really was. Well, listen, we've got four autographed copies, Bing. This is my thought, and we'll round table it. I'm thinking two callers. I can't get into the chat room. I keep getting booted. I don't want to try to get back in because I don't know who's signed in on the BTR in the chat room.
That's Teresa.
Okay, and that's fine. That's why I don't want to get back in. Specifically asked Teresa to moderate the chat board. So my thought, and I'm just throwing this out there. I'm thinking two callers and two people in the chat room, but I can't see what's going on in the chat room. So I'll have to leave that to others if that's acceptable. But it's not my decision. Again, we're all partners in Conservative Nation Radio shows. The decision's not mine; it's ours.
Hmm.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine, whatever you decide.
I just kicked one guy because he was just stirring up some stuff. But anyways, yeah, I finally figured out how to get in there. All right, sorry about that. But now that I know how to do that, I'm gonna enjoy it.
Yeah.
anyways, I don't know. Yeah, we can just pick and choose, or we can. I tell you what. What's the answer of the universe? We'll take one. The first person to answer, what's the answer of the universe, gets the vote.
Yeah, I know that. 42. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not. I don't think we're allowed to participate. I don't know. Maybe we are,
well, let's bring Boyd in here. Boyd is not a part of CNR.
Well, the answer to the universe is 42.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Boyd is an active participant, but Boyd might can direct us in a unbiased.
Yeah. Boyd can, yeah, sure.
What is the answer to the universe?
Yeah. Hey, man, I was struggling. So, you know.
Okay, well, I could tell you this. The answer to the universe is up for grabs. Still. And will be forever.
That's a good one, man. That's good.
No. The answer to the universe is Babe Ruth.
Oh my God.
Hey, you got to remember, George said he was going to go up to Alaska this year, so Boyd might be his guide or something. So.
Good, I can get a live shot in.
So maybe he needs to read a book. I don't know. But we got four to give away, so let's think real quick. And
the answer to the universe is God.
Is what?
God.
Yep.
He created. He would be the answer.
Who said that?
Well, of course. That was Danny, wasn't it?
Yeah, Danny Shell.
Danny.
So let's see. I don't see any answers coming from the chat room, though.
You know what?
How many people do we have in the chat room?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Stars. 3, 6, 9, 12, 16, 17.
And we've got half a dozen in Chat-Am, Trade-Am. I cast a vote for an autographed signature book to Virginia.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I would like Virginia. I mean, that would be my vote because Virginia and George are going to be getting together. George seemed to be very interested in getting to have Virginia in some way or another speak to his class, and I think that would be a great thing, and I think she should be familiar with his book.
Excellent idea, brother.
Hey, Michael, if I may also, you know, just as a suggestion as well, you know, take this for what you will, but I also think that whoever has George on a show should also should also have a copy of the book, you know, just so they know what they're talking about. You know, just saying.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get a chance to read the book yet, but I've called him a couple times, and I know where he's coming from. The guy was a very good speaker. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I take my
and a history professor in New York. God,
I'm going to go ahead and take myself out of the running because I'm too hyperactive to sit down and read. So,
Michael, I'll be more than happy to take your place because I got a lot of time on my hands.
Reading is a hard thing for me to sit down and do. I'm just too ADD.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Boyd.
Okay, listen. I've got to put in a vote for a book for Carol Duché. It's her first time here, she says, and she was the first one that jumped up in the chat room and said she'd like one.
Carol Duché is in the chat room?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Carol, what's going on, buddy? I'm sorry I'm not in the chat room. I've got several hosts on that are helping me.
I'm in the chat room. I didn't see her.
Tell Carol I said hi. Hopefully she can hear me. Carol, Carol is a very good friend of mine on Facebook, and she's reposted Virginia's video, and I hope, Virginia, did Carol friend you yet?
Carol, I believe so, yes. What's her last name?
Carol Douche, D-O-U-C-E-T, I believe. She is good people.
Who's on the 731 number over here? Anybody know?
She hears you. She's in chat. She's here. She hears you.
I'm off.
Hold on a minute. Let me take that.
I'm off with Carol. Hey, you guys, I'm going to... Oh, Rick's going to get that 731. By the way, 718.
Oh, it's
Doucet. Hey, I'm going to text you, Carol. Forgive me. I can tear up some English. yeah, but I'm off for that, boy.
Yeah, thank you, Carol.
Sit down, Carol.
Well, I'll take a book, even if it's not our autograph, because I have children, I'd like to read it.
Oh, I think after listening to him, that book is going to be a hoot, and I'm going to get it, too, here when I get off.
All right, so... go ahead, brother.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, that was a great interview, man. I mean, imagine being a conservative history professor up in Long Island. I mean, that to me is just in itself, that's a feat.
Well, we've got, it was an awesome interview. George is awesome. I'm going to have to get the audio version. That's the only way I can do books.
I'll probably get the online version because I like
I'm an AM kind of guy, man. I can drive around and listen to AM radio, but God dang it, don't hand me a book because I don't have the patience. But put it on audio, and I will drive around and listen to it 100 times.
Yeah, one of the only books other than the Bible that I've read many times and is Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. I read that 3 times, and that's a long book, man. But once you get past about 300 pages, you're into it, you know.
I'm an index kind of guy. I go to the index, look for the information I want to find, go to that page, extract it, and move on.
Yeah, I can't wait for the second installment of Atlas Shrugged to come out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me neither.
I've got Virginia P. for a book, Carol Doucet, Billy...
Doucet.
I apologize. Carol, please forgive me, buddy. I've got Billy down, and we need one more.
Well, you don't have to get me one. Like I was just telling Rick, if me and Rick have him on the shows, I'm sure he's going to offer more. So I'd say give it to other people. Don't give it to any of us hosts.
Okay. So then let's go with Boyd. Do you have a book, buddy? Who's at 731, by the way? Do we know?
731 is Kurt.
Is that Kurt?
731
Yeah,
Kurt.
He dropped out, and he said he's on the road.
Who else do we have in the chat room besides?
Well, we do have Brusky. What about Brusky?
TB would be a good one. She has worked hard for CNR.
Yes, she has.
And working hard for Zach Boskovich.
I'm all for her or the Alaskan. Who's that?
That'd be me up here in Alaska.
That's Boyd, and I think he's familiar. Boyd's in love with Daphne.
I'm not in love with Daphne. I might be in love with Daphne, but not love.
Watch out for those deadly sins, you know.
He liked kicking her butt around on Trad Am when she was spamming. I know he's into that.
Let me get my email address out real quick so that Carol can. Carol, email me. It's Conservative Nation Radio Shows. It's a long one. I'm sorry. Conservative Nation Radio Shows at gmail.com. Email me your information so that we can arrange to get this book to you, Carol. And
hey, Mike, who did you give books out to yet?
Oh, I thought we had decided so far in Virginia, Carol and Teresa Brusky.
And we got one more.
Let's give one out to Boyd because he did answer the question.
Okay.
Right. He will be on Trad Am, and he was kicking Daphne's butt, man. So I gotta tell you, my moderators on Trad Am are top notch. So
and
that's
Danny?
That's how we keep the liberal trolls out of there.
That's one of the most important jobs for like Teresa's doing right now. Moderators, whew, I tell you, because, you know, and especially since I can't get in right now, you know, because sometimes Teresa won't be in, and I will be, and she'll say, Michael, we got something we need to boot. And so it's really nice to have someone there that you can depend on that will boot someone that needs to be booted, because, you know, we don't want none of that trash in our chat room.
No. And that's the whole thing. You know, that's the whole thing, is that, you know, we can't do it all. You know, this is everybody. This is not just me and you. This is not just you. This is not just me. This is not just anybody else. It's everybody involved in this, you know, as a radio show as a whole, you know.
Well, and that's why we say
on our forum is the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Carol, I'm guessing if anyone's looking in the chat room, just – if you could just type in conservativenationradioshows@gmail.com or let me know that Carol got it so she can send me an email with her information so we can get it to George. And then we'll get with TB and Boyd. I'm guessing that that Bing's got your information.
I think so.
I know where he lives.
Okay. All right. No, I don't like to get that information.
If not, brother, just email it to me and I'll get it over to Michael. So
I mean, I have to put out my information.
I'll get it over to George.
But I like to get out other people's information. So, you know. But, hey, we're down to 43 minutes. And I've got about, just to let y'all know, I've got about a 17-minute clip that I want to end the show with. And the reason I want to end it with it today is because Tuesday is cruise day in Texas. And how many questions we have on, but I want to, the last 17 minutes of the show, I want to play just the excerpt from Ted when he called in a couple of weeks ago. So let's move into our round table, and I'd like to start with you, Bing, and then we'll go to Virginia. So Virginia, you'll be on deck. And then, as Virginia's speaking, I'll let the next person know who's on deck, or Bing will. And let's move into our roundtable thoughts, talk about the show today, talk about the past 2 weeks for me, or the past week for you guys, since y'all were all doing a show last Sunday, and just kind of roundtable everything, okay? So, Bing, go ahead.
Oh, as far as I go, I mean, you know, we're working on the Zach campaign up here. Everything's looking good, man. I'm telling you what, we got a good, like Kurt said, we got a good freaking chance of beating Bob Corker here. Getting on the ballot, and, you know, that's all that counts. We got Tennessee and Young Republicans for Romney that just endorsed Zach, which is great. We got Michael Del Giorno, a radio talk show host out of here in Tennessee, Nashville, on WTN, who endorsed him. Actually, Zach was on he was on a radio show out of WTN this morning, this afternoon at 4:00. So I hope that didn't distract some of our visitors, but I'm going to listen to that and see how he did on that. I'm sure he did great because I know Zach, and I know that, you know, he knows his constitution, man. The guy don't have to whip it out. He don't have to whip out the pocket's constitution. He knows it back and forward. So, I don't know. Everything's looking good, man. I went to Chattanooga today, picked my daughter up from the CHA airport, and she had a great time in Florida, and I've seen so many Zach signs all over the place. And it's great to see that. And it's great to see when I go to put up a sign in my local area when somebody else has already beat me to it. So basically, these are the people. It's frustrating in a way because I got to go, oh, man, you know, I got to go somewhere else now. But
it's frustrating, but it's actually exhilarating also to, you know, notice that other people are out there supporting the candidate that I like. So,
well, you know, and let me add to that.
And Michael, I'd like to, on Thursday, I'm going to try to get this together here. On Thursday, I'd like to do a web show or something, a video show where we can actually post the results of the election. I think that would be so cool, man. If you could be on board with me, I'd love it. Or
well,
Rick, too. Anybody else that wants to be on there.
We can do that. We also happen to have the host of the Thursday night show, No Obama Nation, on, who might be willing to do a simulcast as well for election results. And I'll probably talk to Brenda about Tuesday night. But, you know, real quickly, Brother Bing, I wanted to add to what you were just saying about Zach. Just a couple of things. Yesterday I was at a Get Out the Vote, and Rick Santorum and Ted Cruz and Michael Burgess were there. And I'm not going to read the email, but I sent an email to to the National Field Director for Rick Santorum, whom I worked for since early December. You all read it. And so on my way, after I left the Elections Commission yesterday with my equipment for Tuesday, I emailed Melissa and I said, look, I'm heading there now. I'm going to hand Rick this email and I'm going to talk to him if I can. But what is any poll information that we have? And Zach, I mean, Bing, I just want to add to what you were saying. So she responds, straw polls, yes. Zach has won all this year, but one, including the Tennessee Representative Assembly, 87% for Zach Corker's 13%. We've also heard that Corker is very nervous, and they did internal polls.
Nervous, man. So, he hired a whole polling place to go through his record and go through his name and recognition, this and that kind of thing. And they came back and said, look, you're in trouble. And that's when he started spending all this money on his campaign. And you go look out, he has no grassroots support.
Well, that's like Denver.
I go to places and there's signs up all over, you know, and I don't see any Corker signs. I'm telling you, this guy's going down. I firmly believe that in my heart and my soul. This guy's going down. He thinks he's riding the gravy train, brother. I'm sorry, that gravy train, my dog done sucked up.
Well, and here's the thing. You know what? I don't think it's going to materialize. I handed that email to Rick, and I asked him to please look at it. I don't know that anything's going to happen by the second. I'd be surprised if it did. So, but at the same time, it looks very good for Zach in Tennessee. And as proud as I am that Texas is probably going to send Ted Cruz to the Senate, Ted got a lot of support, and I'm glad for that. Zach pulls this out, and I believe he will. He will have done it on his own with the help from none of our leaders.
That's correct. Yeah, this is total grassroots, man. This is down bare bones, guts, you know, bloody mess in the mud and that kind of stuff. That's what this is about. You know, we're not running a negative campaign at all or anything like that. So, I mean, you know, it's just people don't like Bob Corker up here. And, you know, that helps out quite a bit. Name recognition helps a lot. But it also hurts a lot when you're already out there and you've got a name recognition that sucks, you know.
Well, let's bring Virginia on, and then Kurt, you're on deck.
You know, I agree with many things that you both said, and you know, here in Texas, we work really hard for Ted Cruz, and I really believe that he's gonna win. You know, this. Going and making his name known, explaining to people, you know, sharing information with them, putting on Facebook and all the you know, social media and everything, participating to the events. I was at the same event that Michael was talking about. And something else, at the event, if you remember, Michael, there were people that came from Florida to help Ted Cruz here. So I am very impressed because I noticed that not only for Ted Cruz, but also when I went Friday for the event at American Airlines with Glenn Beck, there were lots of people from all over United States coming here to help with Ted Cruz or other very strong conservative candidates to be able to win. And I believe that we have a new movement in this country. People don't limit their influence only to their state or city. They fly now to go, and they have the time, and now with all the possibilities that we have, that you can call from home and not necessarily in Dallas or in Texas, all over United States. This is an amazing opportunity that we have, and people are, on board. And like I said before, young people are coming and helping. And this is an amazing, absolutely amazing, amazing thing.
It absolutely is.
I believe that we're gonna change the atmosphere. We're gonna change the culture. I'm very impressed. I'm doing as much as possible. But I am so attached by any time I go and help. I am so impressed by what other people are doing. And it's very encouraging. It's, it's that feeling that you know you are not by yourself. And also, there are so many people. We have no idea. You know, Brenda is the lady with the Obama show.
That's Billy.
I am.
Oh, Billy.
Billy. Yes, I like you so much. You say in short sentences so strong and so powerful that I know that your listeners are repeating what you said, to others and everything. So we all do our part, and we have no idea. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't how much we influence. But I believe that this country is waking up and people are waking up. The only concern that I have is that it is my opinion, and I might be wrong, but my opinion is that a lot of churches are still asleep. A lot of pastors are still afraid to talk about politics or to say something about a good candidate and everything. So we have to pray for them and encourage. That's one of the things. And who knows? There are lots of pastors, and that are doing a good job, and they might have a good influence over others. But that's what I want to say. I'm very happy that I can use the media with YouTube and all the help that I receive from everybody to share those, so people can be influenced. We can understand communism, because that's one of the important things. And also, I am impressed with all those politicians, and I agree. You can have a good big name and can help you, or you can have a big name and harm you. But I believe that Ted Cruz have all the good names. So I really believe that Tuesday is Ted Cruz Day, that he's going to win.
Absolutely, yeah. Virginia. And thank you so much, sweetheart. And, you're a blessing in my life. Stand by for the end of the show. And, folks, I'm very proud. It gives me a lot of pride to count as a friend of Virginia Proden. And, Virginia, I've set up conservativenationradioshows.wordpress.com. I've got the start of her own blog. It's got her video on there now, and I'll be getting with Virginia later this week, and we'll be going over some of the ins and outs. Virginia's going to start blogging, so folks, keep your eyes open. This Patriot's going to be writing some stuff that I highly recommend you're going to want to read, and it's going to be on Virginia Proden's Freedom Blog on conservativenationradioshows.wordpress.com. And Virginia, hang tight, buddy. Kurt, you're up. And Danny, you're on deck.
Michael, I'm on the road. Put somebody on, brother, okay?
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Boyd, you're up. I'm sorry, Danny, you're up. Boyd, you're on deck.
What's happening?
Oh, well, you know, my brother. How's it going with you in Kentucky? I know you've been doing about 17 campaigns at a minimum. Oh, by the way, not only, Danny, do we have our primary Tuesday the 31st, and then on the 2nd in the great volunteer state, Tennessee, but on the 14th, and Rick can probably tell us about this, on the 14th of August is Florida. So, Danny, with that, go ahead, and Boyd, you're on deck.
Yeah, boy, it looks like we've got a real good chance of getting some good conservative candidates elected in the primary and to change the Senate. And that's mostly what I've been working on because I just want to change the Senate to conservatives 33 seats at a time. And there's a few more primaries in August, Washington, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin. So we'll have all of the we'll know if we got conservatives or rhinos running in those states for the nominee, as the nominee, I mean. And I had to quit tweeting. I've been tweeting for some of them while I was listening to the show. And you got it made. You got to go down there to Dallas to the big Restoring Love and got to check that out. I bet it was a real good event.
It was, and I'm going to post video. I've got video of the whole thing. And, Carol, I got your email, buddy.
And I'll get off here and let you get somebody else on there.
Thank you, Brother Shouse. Boyd, you're on deck. I'm sorry, Boyd, you're up. Rick, you're on deck.
Hey, Mike. I'd like to take up a conversation that Virginia started.
Sure.
And it's a philosophy of mine. It's not anything that I haven't been doing too much this week except going out and making a paycheck and paying my taxes. But what Virginia had to say about all the people from out of state that are helping, like Cruz and Zach and stuff like that, while I do it and while we as a movement have learned to use these rules that we have been playing by right now, I honestly believe that election should be by the people inside the district, inside the state, and should be funded as such. You know, if you look at it, my congressman from Alaska, who I adore because he's so politically incorrect, has been in Congress for 27 years. Something, or 27 terms. And I mean, I adore him and everything else, and I like it. He doesn't get much help from outside except for a lot of money, you know, and that's that money is influential. There are people who are affecting your elections in Texas and Tennessee and our elections up here in Alaska that are not from your state. They are, the corporations or people who, you know, want your representatives vote for issues that do not belong in your representative's state. Now, I know that lobbying and influence is, and to be in Congress is compromised. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back to get legislation that is important to your state passed. You know, and that happens even down to the local levels. But to me, that has begun to become a perversion of our individuality. You know, we all live in areas that we like, and we like them for our own particular values, whether they be political or, you know, environmental, or just that's where your job's at. You know, we shouldn't have, you know, outside influences, you know, affecting us this way, but we do. Now, I mean, I could be way off base on my thinking.
Do you consider yourself a lobbyist? I mean, I'm just, you know, saying that as far as if you're in another state supporting a candidate or supporting a cause, I don't think you're a lobbyist. Now, if you're sitting there sending, you know, tons of money and trying to influence, you know, there's a weird rope to run on.
As far as
who is a lobbyist and who is not, I think we all know who the lobbyists are.
Right. I understand. Okay.
Lobbyists are not grassroots people. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all grassroots. And we all like Ted. We all like that. But, you know, for me in Alaska to actively support these guys as such, yes, I want to see them in Congress, you know, because it is good for the nation. Not so much good for me. But then again, on the other hand, if, say, for instance, Zach would be good for the nation, or Ted will be good for the nation, but not good for Texas or Tennessee as a representative of your state, then, you know, you guys in those states are going to have to fight us from out of state.
Well, that's why we elect these people.
You kind of follow what I'm doing. You kind of follow how I'm saying it. You know, I mean, there are people like Porker. Porker probably got his biggest support and power from out-of-state influence. Not Tennessee influences, out-of-state.
Yeah. Thank you, America. Chase Manhattan. I mean, you know, take your pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got lobbyists all over. The thing is that, look, you know, whether we help whatever candidate in other states, it doesn't make us lobbyists, and it doesn't make them lobby takers.
No.
It just means we're supporting them.
I think that's what Boyd's saying, and I think I understand what you're saying, Boyd. For instance, I'm just going to use Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Now that lady's not in my district. She's not in my district, and I'm like you, Boyd. I'm by no means a lobbyist. I'm just I'm a grassroots activist that's not only looking out for the best interest of my state, as you would be Alaska or Bing would be Tennessee, but I'm also looking out for the best interest of our country. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I would work against her as a grassroots activist, even though she's not in my district, because that lady has a direct effect on what happens to me here in Texas. And I think that's what you're trying to say. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, we want the senator, Ted. We'll just take Ted Cruz, for instance. If Ted goes to D.C., and Ted is beholden to people outside of the state of Texas that influence his votes on things that affect Texas, then Ted's making a crucial mistake. And I think Ted understands, because we proved it here in Texas on the 29th. Tea Party people in Texas will fire you if you do not hold up to the promises. And I think we're seeing that across the nation. Dick Lugar got fired I think we're seeing that all around the country. I think we're about to see Bob Corker get fired. I really believe, I've never been a term limits guy. I'm a free market person, Boyd. I've always been a free market person, and I look at my vote from my representative, be it the lower house or the upper house, as a free market choice. If I want that person to be in Congress until the day they die, that's my right. That's my free market choice. But unfortunately, we've gotten to a point in society where there's not enough of Boyds or Michaels or Beans or Ricks or Billies or Melissas or Carols or Teresa's or whomever that give a rat's ass, to the point now where we actually have to look at term limits. So I think
right.
I'm doing what you're saying, Boyd.
I understand what he's saying, too. But I'm looking at it this way, is that I support my senator from Tennessee, okay? Future senator from Tennessee. And that will influence the rest of the country. Because it's not just being a senator from Tennessee or being a congressman from Tennessee or being a congressman or senator from Texas. That these people influence other things involved in our country. And we just have to understand that, and we have to, you know, vote accordingly, you know?
I wholeheartedly follow you on that, Bing, and Michael. You know, I guess I shouldn't have put the term lobbyist in there, but, you know, lobbying is influencing. Lobbying is, in my terms, because I have done it, is like what George does. He's a teacher. You know, when you go into your legislature, whether it be federal, state, or local, you got to remember when you go in there and talk to that person gets up in the morning and puts his pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. They're no better, no worse. You know, and so when you're lobbying them, you're trying to educate them to the issue that you're involved in, and to educate them to see the argument your way, so that you acquire their vote the way, you know, you want it.
Right.
So, I mean, now, when I go, and because I go so rarely, I don't file as a lobbyist or anything. I'm just a person. Although I usually, when I go in to talk to them, I go talk to them for a group. So you see where lobbying is kind of took this conversation off into another direction. We hit a fork in the road.
Well, and actually the thing about it, Boyd, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. And here's the funny thing about it. Lobbying can be a good thing or a bad thing. It depends on what side of the lobbying you're on. If you're lobbying on something I agree with, and I'm just being intellectually honest here, if you're lobbying on something on behalf of what I agree, I'm like, lobby away.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're lobbying against something that is opposed to the principles that I believe in, you know, so, and that's just, you know, that's just a little intellectual honesty there. But, you know, there's lobbying like anything else. It's there's good reasons for it and there's bad reasons for it. I think that when we hear the word lobbying, we automatically attach a bad thing to it. And it's not a bad thing.
We're attached to a monetary figure.
Yeah, lobbying
and it's
is
not really that. In some instances, it's not that.
In a true sense of the word, Bing, you're right. You know that what we're arguing is the financial benefits a lobbyist will bring. He don't care whether, I mean, a professional lobbyist doesn't care or have the passion for the argument. And he knows he can buy the vote. That gives the grassroots lobbyists a bad name just because they used the term lobbyist.
Right. And the whole thing is that, look, you know, we lobby our lobby our congressmen to do what we want them to do. Now, whether they will do the right thing or not is, you know, up to them. Like in the case of Bob Corker, he doesn't do the right thing. You know, he voted for cash for clunkers. He voted for TARP. He voted for the bailout of the banks. I mean, the guy, you know, doesn't do what's right. But lobbying in itself is not a bad thing. But when there's a lot of money in, or even in any money involved, then it becomes a bad thing. And I don't like that.
Right.
That's just my personal opinion. I mean, lobbying, okay, for a cause or for what's righteous or what's indicative of what you believe in, that's different than sitting there and trying to buy a vote, you know. That happens a lot down the South,
yeah.
Man. You know, down here, you know, you got people sitting there, you know, that are dog catchers, that their whole family's been dog catchers, you know. And it's hard to get rid of. But it's the good old boy network, and I understand where you're talking about. But I'm telling you, man, Zach ain't got no luck. If we had lobbyists on Zach's campaign or even Ted's campaign, man, I mean, we would have money up the butt, but we don't.
You know what it sounds like to me, Brother Bing and Brother Boyd? Because we're running a little short of time. But since next Sunday is going to be the first Sunday after the primary in Texas and the primary in Tennessee, I think we need to have a show and we need to discuss this. I think this is something we need to talk about. What do you both think?
I totally agree, man.
I'd love to, because to me this is a philosophy. It's not a set in stone thing. It's like America, and
it's like that painting that's never finished.
That's right. But you know, into this, I think that within the next 20 years, we must have a strong push to repeal the 17th Amendment and get the senators back into the confines of which they were originally stated. Those were representatives for the state, not the people, but
right.
For the state. And your House of Representatives was for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Senate and the 17th Amendment, it is now like the Senate is not for the state that they come from. It is for corporations.
Exactly.
And that's why we're going to get some strong constitutional conservatives in there. Hey, Brother Boyd, we're getting close to end of time here. Let's do this. I'm going to send an email. Bing, do you have Boyd's email?
Yeah.
Let's get a three-way email going. We'll put together our show. I'm telling everybody now, our guest for next Sunday, the Alaskan. So we're going to have us a good old-fashioned conservative debate next Sunday and have some fun. Are you up for that, Boyd?
Yeah.
Are you asking me?
If I'm in town, yeah.
All right. So we're going to have us a good show next Sunday. Real quickly, I'm going to forego the 17-minute clip for Ted. I'm going to schedule a show for tomorrow night, a special show. I'll get it out on Facebook, which will be a final push before Tuesday. Sister Billy, you're up. Brother Rick, you're on deck. I need to ask both of you guys to keep it down to a minute or two so that Bing and I can wrap up, and then we can do our outro. Go ahead, Sister Billy.
No problem. I'm just going to do a little plug for Nobomination Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. If you want to join me, join the conversation, feel free, call in, and we always have a wonderful time just going through the abominations of the week.
And I love Nobomination. Though I don't get to listen to it as much as I want, And, you know, my partners on Conservative Nation Radio, they never realized when I said, look, you get total free creative control for 2 hours a week. They never realized that not only did they get that I would completely stay out of their hair. Sorry, I don't get to drop in as much, but you're doing a great job, buddy. I do listen, and I do download it from time to time and listen to it.
And I would love to have Virginia on and have a nice little, you know, get-together. I've done many shows about communism,
mm-hmm.
in particular with Kyle Becker. Kyle Becker is a very good columnist. He was even mentioned by Bill Whittle of PJ Media in his...
Yeah, he used to be on our site.
Yeah, he's a very,
very nice
very strong, you know, he's a voice out there against communism, and he knows all about it. So I'd love to have both Virginia and him on at the same time someday, maybe, and we'll see what we can work out.
Well, I happen to know that Virginia is still listening, so I will send you an email, but you can also friend Virginia. Just go to my wall, and there's any number of posts that will take you right to her wall, so you can send her a friend message. And I know Virginia very well. She's a sweet lady. She's gold. Man, she is gold. She's someone you want in your on your friends list.
I have watched the YouTube, and I have listened to her on your show, and I love listening to her. She's got a lot of insight.
She does. Thanks a lot, Billy. I'm going to park you, and Brother Rick, give us a minute and a half or 2 minutes so Bing and I can wrap it up and call it a three-hour show. The first, by the way, Billy Rick, I'm sure Brendan's not on, but by the way, guys, we're up to 3 hours, so you can reschedule your shows for up to three hours.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'll definitely let both Becca, who was my guest co-host on Red, Red, and Blue yesterday. Red, and Blue is on every Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, on Conservative Nation Radio. Also simulcast on OwnTheNarrative.com. Cheap, shameless plug there, if I may. For Own the Narrative, you know, there, you know, we have a good group of four ladies who, Pooh 61, TKS Jewelry, Rowan Junior River, or RGR Art, and also Something Fishy, who hosts Broadside every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Sometimes they do it live, sometimes they tape it, and so you can, and so I'll talk to them and see if they would also like to have Virginia on. And like I said, I mean, you know, Red, Red, and Blue for every Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, and we just have a grand old time.
Thanks,
so
Brother Rick. And
come
again,
come and engage the conversation.
And Own the Narrative, as you have taught me to say, Rockstar. Friend Virginia, and you two can make arrangements. Thanks a lot for helping me out, as usual, Brother Rick. Brother Bing, I'm going to take Texas. You take Tennessee, because we got two big events this week, and then we're going to end the show. I want to thank everybody, Virginia, Rick, Danny, Billy, Boyd, George Monahan from New York, Kurt Blackwood, all of the guests in the chat room, Teresa for moderating, Carol, I got your email, buddy. I'll be emailing you shortly, or just go ahead and send me your email address. I mean your postal address, so that I can get that to George. It's been a great show, Bing. We're doing a 3 hour show again. What do you think about that, brother?
I love it, man. I'm digging it.
I am
finally getting into the groove of it, and I'm starting to really like this. You know, I always liked it, but
you're
going to
take
us to get
the video.
What's that? Oh yeah, we're going to go video, man.
Well,
video
let me give my real quick thing on Texas, and then I think you'll follow suit, folks. If you're in Texas and you've not voted, Tuesday, the 31st of July, is Cruz Day. If you want real constitutional conservative serving in the United States Senate with Senator Pat Toomey, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Tom Coburn, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Jim DeMint, because that's about the only five constitutional conservatives that we have up there. If you're in Texas and you've not voted, Cruz Day is your day. If you don't get out there and vote, I'm not going to say shame on you, but don't come crying to me. I won't hear of it. Brother Bing, it's yours.
August 2nd, man. Zach Poskovich for U.S. Senate. It'll influence
constitutional conservative.
It'll influence, right, constitutional conservative, good Christian man, hung up with the dude, and I just love him. So get out the vote. Tell your friends.
Brother Bing, it has been a great 3-hour show with you, my friend. Taking us out is a band called Sunbolt, a song I dedicate to all of you.
So much promise with so much pain.
We're lucky enough we've got time for one more outro. Carol got the email. Thanks. Bing, take us out with this one.
Clarence Henry, the Frogman.
Ooh, ain't got no hope.
Yeah, Bob.
I know they ain't wrong. Ain't got no hope. I know faith's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home. Ooh. I got a voice. I love to sing. I sing like a girl, and I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home.
If you're not on traditionalamerican.com,